The beginning of hour two is when...
This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome at just a few minutes after 7 o'clock. It's Studio C. You are live with us. The chat room is already on fire, partially because Missy Al's in there. But Don from North Carolina, Anant is there, Aaron from L.A. They're already talking about so many things in the chat room well before the show gets underway. It's kind of cool. They have their own little world going over there. Whether they listen to the show or not, I have no idea. But they get in.
They chat with each other.
It's like one of the old AOL chat rooms from years ago, when you could just go into a chat room and talk about puppies for hours on end, or whatever Comic-Con things people used to talk about way back in the day. I don't know.
That's another thing I know. I never understood chat rooms. I still don't really get them. I like to read them after they're finished.
You barely like to text people, so I understand.
Mass communication is really lost.
Oh, and what I really fucking hate are group texts that I can't escape from. On Facebook, at least you can bow out of the conversation, but if it's an actual text, you're fucked.
Oh, no, actual texts, I know how to get out of them now, because I'm always the victim of those in New York. Yeah, I turn my phone off.
You'll have to show me. I didn't know you could leave a group text in an iPhone. I didn't know you could do that.
Yes.
Well, we'll have to discuss that.
I'm a font of knowledge right now.
Tune in later when we'll have a technical portion of tonight's show, which will be very exciting for everybody. As you'll see, for those of you watching, and listening, because there's a couple voices missing, Kat Carlson is on vacation tonight, and Mark...
You can go into details and hit leave this conversation.
Oh, shut up. I did not know you could do that.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, the things that I've just learned today.
Let me tell you how I was inspired to get the fuck out of one of those.
I'm going to spend the 10 to 10:30 hour of tonight's show on
leaving conversations.
Yes. Anyway, Marnie's on her way. She's not just normally late. She had some other business to take care of, but she's on her way. So you're stuck, literally stuck, with Al Perkins and myself here on this Tuesday night. Thank you for joining us all across the land. Well, there are many, many topics that are... this is an odd week for even Kat to be out, because there's so much fucking news going on. So many things have happened. People have died. Legislation has been passed, then not repealed, but then edited for clarification.
And a weird rumor is going around, and maybe somebody tell me if it's true. A country singer died.
Merle Haggard died. I have an interesting story, actually, about that.
Okay, and then there was something...
The person who my mom thought was already dead, by the way.
I did, too.
Okay, well, I figured you did, too.
Yeah, that was one of those... Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He was alive yesterday.
Yeah, I have a couple interesting stories about that.
But died on his birthday. Oh, okay.
Yeah, 79.
So, is there anything about what he left his will to?
I haven't investigated that at all.
Okay, so there is this weird story that's going around on the Facebooks.
Okay.
And it's saying that he left his wealth, or part of his money, or whatever he had left, $50.
His $50.
To, like, LGBT rights. And I saw it more than once, but I Googled around trying to find anything about it. And aside from these two or three things on Facebook stories, I never found anything else about it. And he was trending, so I looked through like everything that was that was being hashtagged about him, all the hash browns in his honor.
Right.
And I honestly could not vet that in any way, but it was such a weird, and I don't know if he was pro or con or anything like that. Like
I think he was. Well, there was another thing somebody else shared on Facebook, and I honestly didn't read it. That was they said it was an interesting read with regards to him and his views on things, because it wasn't a view that a lot of the what you would call, I guess, classic country artists or even anybody in that venue would ever have thought about. I know that one of the things that he had been recently remarked about was that he was not happy with the way that Obama had been treated as the president from everybody. Like what they're doing was just wrong. You don't do that.
Disrespectful,
right. He wasn't big on that. But as far as the LGBT thing, I honestly don't know. And maybe, like you said, usually Aaron from LA seems to have his finger on the pulse of things like that.
Yeah. And that really threw me. And it was one of those things where I was at work and I was just on a break and flicking through the thing, and I was flicking through my thing. things that aren't metaphors for dirty stuff, like shaking hands with Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah.
So it really threw me off guard, and then I meant to look it up today because it was, I figured someone would talk about it.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you that story yesterday about the concert? I did, was it you? No, it was you. Weren't you and I driving around, was it yesterday? No, we drove around today.
Yeah.
Who was I driving around with yesterday? I shared this one of the stories that I thought was very cool. And I can say that for just a minute. I have to figure out something. Microsoft did a lovely update today, and I have lost connectivity between my master computer and this one. So I have to go and reclaim my Snopes claims the Merle Haggard has left his estate to LGBT groups is false. Snopes is claiming that. Don Don from North Carolina just chimed in with that. Thank you very much. Yes, it is just Al and Clayton today. Sorry, Annette, to upset you. Marnie will be here shortly, but Kat Carlson took the week off.
Family leave.
Well, yeah, her family had mentioned
that. Our generous FMLA policy.
They have not.
But no medical.
No medical. Her family had made a comment that they were forgetting how what she looked like because they hadn't seen her. Though she posts about every 4 minutes on Facebook, I don't know how they could have not recognized her. But this family, she decided to stay home and hang out with the kids and her wife. So that's what they're doing tonight. But like I said, Marnie is she had a prior engagement and she's on her way here. So she'll be here. So for now, it's just the Clayton and Al show, which God knows that's stimulating.
Yeah, that'll get you there. And you really should have a drink because most people that put up with this are drinking. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So... this was The Scooper is a satirical website in scope and intent. Sometimes it's funny, often it is not. We provide false news and social criticism in a satirical setting.
Gotcha.
Our intention is not to fool or trick anyone, but obviously it happens. We firmly believe that you can soften a person's willingness to listen by injecting irony and, yes, sometimes humor into the conversation. So it was,
That's entire show, Boys and Girls.
Well, thank you for somebody finding that because the headline just, it came up a couple times and I was at work. So, and then I did try to Google it and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find the story anywhere. So I'm like, it really can't be true if. Especially when the hash brown, what's his name? Merle Haggard kept coming up. I don't know why I can't remember him.
I don't know why either.
I get him confused with is, who was the outlaw? Was it Waylon Jennings?
Well, there was Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson.
And is Waylon Jennings dead?
Yes, but yes.
I get Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings confused. Okay. I often thought they were the same person.
Because there was like Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, Johnny Paycheck. There's a whole group of them that were part of this quote. I want to say like this outlaw group that they used to run around with together. They were just the good old boys of country music.
Oh, okay.
The interesting thing is, you and I have talked about this before with regards to your iTunes library. It is interesting because if your iTunes library literally has all the information for the songs that it's supposed to have, it would then show composers or writers or contributors, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. If you type in, I was really surprised to find I typed in the name Merle Haggard in my iTunes library, and how many songs came up that I had no idea he had written.
He had written, yeah.
And not necessarily for other artists, but other artists picked them up and put their own spin on them or sang them, however. But it was interesting because we've done that with when I first started on iTunes, you used to tell me that you would type in just like somebody's name. And you would find out, and you would just listen to all the songs that they were connected to to break up the monotony of listening to the same thing all the time.
Yeah, like my favorite mix, completely random, is I type in the word Brothers.
Oh.
And then you get everything associated with that. So Everly. You get like Brothers Johnson.
Right.
You get the Doobie Brothers. Right. Then you get the Brothers and Rhythms remixes of certain songs. Like you get these fun dance mixes. And so it's a fun little mix that I make. And just to find out how many Brothers and Rhythms fucking remixes I have.
Oh, I can't think of who that is. Brothers and Rhythm.
They do a lot of remixes.
Can you hum a few bars? Oh, so it wasn't necessarily a group. They are just a remix artist.
Yeah, I just type in like a word and just to see what comes up.
Got it.
I'm trying to think of what their
like
Brothers in Rhythm did, and I don't know if you're familiar with the group, but they did Heaven 17 remixes.
Oh, got it. God.
Absolutely.
Heaven 17.
Loved.
I haven't heard of that for a while. Yeah.
And so Tim and I would exchange Brothers and Rhythm, you know,
right.
Exchange. He would give them to me.
Right.
He would find them and bequeath them to me while still alive.
I was bequeathed a gift today. I share this with you.
Oh, wait. Yeah, there's
What are you looking for?
Two things. I thought you hung a sign up in here.
Well, our new picture.
Oh, okay.
It's right. It's out of camera shot. I'll have to get a picture of it so I can post it onto the, you know, above Al in the way above Al in the line of where the lights are for our studio. I was given a bunch of stuff from my friend Daniel Ray. I call him Bootsy Lamone. He's getting ready to move, so he was cleaning out stuff. Wanted to know, you know, what can I do with this box of electronic wires and what to do with this and blah blah blah. So I told him drop it off at my house, and oddly, part of it included a vacuum. But anyway, we'll get past that. But the box of wire, I was like, well, don't throw it away because there might be some random thing I could use or reuse. I'm going to sort through it. But one of the things was he said it was from his high school days. It was a woman flagging down a Lamborghini with the caption of "Let's fly" or something. And he said that was going back to his high school days, which would be in the 80s. So I repurposed.
I just sent you the picture so you could put it on.
Oh, okay. He just, I repurposed the frame and put a "What Would Rachel Maddow Do" picture in it so she can give us inspiration during every show.
There you go. She's behind me, so I don't know. Justin Bieber somewhere behind me.
Justin Bieber, his favorite. But the other thing was, talking about music, oddly, I don't know where he came up with it, was a 12-inch vinyl Wham remix of maybe Everything She Wants.
Oh, I forget. I love that remix.
But I'm like, why just randomly did you have that? Because he said last night when I saw him, he goes, there is a Wham present in there for you somewhere. And I immediately started digging for that. But I got it.
Oh, we'll have to go through, but I have all kinds of rare Wham 12-inch singles that I never even thought to. Oh. Because that did not leave my cold, dead fingers when I traded in music.
Do enjoy the so many of them. In fact, I've done that of late.
I'm sure they have a Brothers in Rhythm mix.
Oh, maybe they do. Did Heaven 17 re-record any of that stuff? Who knows? Let me see if I can get this picture from you, what you just sent to me. Oh, I came around.
Oh, and hello, Amina.
Oh, and my mom's in there, too. Hi, Mom. Had a lovely visit with Mom. Saturday, Mom came down, helped me transport one of my cats to the vet because we were just being precautionary. I thought something was wrong just to find out, come to find out she's older and needy. So I just thought maybe something was wrong
with her.
It's
not nice to talk about your mother that
way. No, Mom's fine.
Oh, okay.
And then yesterday, my older cousin, her younger sister's son, who is a corporate pilot, flew in for work yesterday and hung out with us for the afternoon and had lunch, which was very cool because I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of fun to have Michael around and show him the city and things that we did. He saw the studio and all that
stuff. Oh, now he listens, right?
Occasionally, pilot? Yeah. He's the one who's in Joplin, Missouri, and still lives in the family home back there in little...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, very cool. So hang on, let me... if I remember my password here, I dun, 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 dun. I don't know why this browser won't save this fucking password. Oh, there we go. In it. Oh, shared a link.
I do not like this shirt.
Oh, look at you. I'm glad you... look how nice you are to do the save this picture. So many things going on here.
Yeah, I look terrible. Look.
What the fuck?
God.
What happened?
Turn your screens off.
There's a filter on that too. No, I'm kidding. There's not.
You got to sell that filter. I know. I am drinking red wine, and it's one of the things I swore I would never do on this show because red wine stains my teeth brown immediately, and I have to use all kinds of like witchcraft and voodoo to get the shit off. But fuck it. It's a good. It was a nice bottle of wine, and only $13.99 at the all white people Safeway on
Oh, you said Camelback. You had a new experience for the old Safeway.
Yeah, I went to the all white people Safeway. All white people all the time grocery store. And that shuts everything down promptly at 9:00. And I went at 9:30, so it was limited shopping.
Well, I told you the reason they shut that down is because all those respectable white women are done shopping by 6:30.
Oh yeah, they're
but that wine selection is open at 6 AM.
Yeah. Like they have a secret door that I was not allowed into. I was very disappointed.
What does that mean?
Well, they have it must be like a refrigerated wine room, but it's huge. But okay. There was not a docent available, so I was not allowed in.
There was not a docent. Okay.
It was not. What's the word?
I don't know. What
I
is
can't
it?
Think of it?
Use your words, Al.
I know.
Oh, here's the. Mom will be excited to see this. Not really.
Verboten. That's the word.
Here is the picture of Rachel Maddow we've got in there. What would Rachel Maddow do? I found it online, just printed it. There were several pictures, but I chose that one.
Yeah. obviously by the artist that did the Obama sketch, right?
Because in color, it's the same color scheme of the the hope that for them.
The Hopi changing. Yeah.
But what I'm still looking for, I'm looking for a life-size cardboard cutout. I wanted just to be able to stand in here with this. If I can find it. Oddly, on eBay, her book, there's a lot of that on eBay. There's not much else. I was actually looking for the coffee mugs that they use on the show, which are different than what NBC sells on the website. Not the same. So I'm like, somehow I got to figure out how to get in with her staff and get the mug I want. I don't know if that's some sort of a stalking thing or not. I'm not sure.
All right. So let's, because I did nothing this week besides go look for, with you go today for.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up,
the
too.
The ultimate disappointment of trying to find bathroom fixtures that matched.
Al has been in a mini, not really a home remodeling, more of a bathroom refreshing.
Yeah, exactly, refreshing.
And he's been disappointed to find out that certain finishes and different accessories don't match. You can't buy it all in a group.
Turns out Friends era plumbing is hard to update.
Well, what year is your house?
The house is 42 or 47. Okay, I always get
so
that confused.
Right in the same line as mine. So some of those fixtures, you've got to buy aftermarket stuff to get to. But like you said, you'd been on Delta. Was your?
I was on Amazon. I was on Delta.
Nobody had it.
No, there was one. There is one. I will show you the one knob that I found that I felt
not
worth
a metaphor
turning.
Again. Not a metaphor. But we were able, with the help of Home Depot and just brute force, we were able to get through it today and get you a brushed nickel faucet and a brushed nickel shower head, right? You
got that? Two handles and a bathroom sink fixture. But, God. Oh, my God. It was just rife with disappointment.
It was just a challenge for me to go to Home Depot with him, and he was just upset about everything that happened with regards to the plumbing fixtures. Yeah. Oh, and then the other part was funny is when he walked down the sink aisle, the displays of all of the sinks that are tilted up for display, and you're like, how the fuck do you mount that?
It did take me a couple seconds to figure that out, but I'm like, why would you put a sink on your wall in that position? Like, it's just going to spill. It's like,
and no alcohol had been drunk at that point in the day. None.
That's just my level of stupidity and not caring how that thing goes.
Got it. So where were you going to go with something? You talk for a second. I've got to get my headline thing.
Well, we're just going to talk about this North Carolina thing has taken some crazy turns, but I would, if someone could just send me the actual update on the law. But so since this law was passed. So let me see, because there's a couple weird parts about that. I know we talked about it last week, but there's a couple weird parts to the law that were really, really bizarre. And the one was that you couldn't sue anyone for discrimination based on sexual orientation. So that was just, that to me was the most offensive part of it. And I'm kind of talking to myself here. But so people have come out against it. Bruce Springsteen has canceled his tours. Stephen Schwartz canceled any performances of his musicals, which is Pippin,
Wicked.
I always forget the other one. Godspell.
You may have already said it, but one TV show that filmed there actually packed up all their stuff and went back to Canada. Who is that? Do you remember what show that was? Or no?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they were filming there and literally moved production to Canada. I thought maybe you might have. Oh, that's what I was looking
and then
for.
I'm not sure because I know Georgia has a big big filming, does a lot of filming in their state, starting with Drop Dead Diva was the one that that famously had the peach on it that was filmed there, and now it's The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can find it. Scroll down through this right quick. La, 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 la.
Okay, so Bruce Springsteen said he was not going to tour there. Brian Williams pulled out. PayPal stopped the building of put a kibosh on the building of.
It was going to employ over 400 people.
400 people. Deutsche Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Said no, they weren't coming, and that was like over 400 jobs and a lot of money.
This just says a TV production for the streaming service Hulu relocated to Canada. It doesn't specify, and the story that I have doesn't specify for what show or what they were doing.
Oh.
Says the Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau said five groups have canceled conventions with 16 others considering the same. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Mr. McCrory acknowledged receiving a large amount of, quote, feedback about the law over the past few weeks. Feedback is an interesting choice of words for that one. I would like for the Periods for Pence group to get right on the same with these people, because those Periods for Pence people are relentless and have done and funny shit.
Follow up from last week. If you were not following Periods for Pence, oh, sweet Jesus. And that poor woman that had it, was her name Kathy or Katie?
Katie.
Oh, my
God. That was on the phones?
That was on the phones. And either she quit or she's in a sanitarium getting the help she desperately needs. And she's no longer part of all of them. She's no longer part of it, but the emails are still going on in Indiana with Governor Pence. But Governor McCrory today signed an executive order that clarifies existing state laws and provides new protection for North Carolina residents. According to the governor's office, Executive Order 93 does the following. It maintains the common sense, gender-specific restroom and locker room facilities in government buildings and schools, affirms the private sector's right to establish its own restroom and locker room policies. What does that mean? So in like government buildings, you have to pee somewhere? I don't get that part. Affirms the private sector's and local government's right to establish its own non-discrimination employment policies for its own employment and employees. And that part was about I think it was Charlotte that passed the laws that passed the anti-discrimination laws that the state was trying to reverse. The state was trying to shut down anti-discrimination laws being written by Charlotte, which somebody has to, Don, you have to tell me if that's true, but I think that was the chain of events. And one of the things was making bathrooms a safe place for anyone to go, and the people in the state house were just like, absolutely not, we must shut this down. Like, you can't just let people pee willy-nilly. But one of the things that the law did was it did say that local governments could not put out their own. They couldn't make anti-discrimination laws. Stopped that.
Which is
one of the big things that people were against, and expands the states. And this is the part that everybody's saying it's watered down, but I think this one is the big win here. Expands the state's employment policy for state employees to cover sexual orientation and gender identity. So that's a big win. The whole thing about peeing, not peeing, public restrooms, who's going into where and who's checking. You know, I'm sure if you're in some little truck stop in like, you know, shit town Arizona, somebody's going to give you something for it. But if you're like at a baseball game here, like who's looking that hard? Right. You know what I mean? Like
if you care that much, your priorities are really fucked up.
It's you we're worried about near a bathroom, not the person.
Right.
Peeing.
Yeah. If you're more concerned about what's between somebody's legs. Yeah, you're right. You're the bigger issue. Well, like all the other reports that have been online, more Republican
lawmakers have been arrested in restrooms for illicit acts than have been transgendered people.
Yes, exactly.
So the part about it expands the state's employment policy for state employees to cover sexual orientation and gender identity is a very big deal, because that gets them in line, and that's one of the big ones.
And that was the executive order today?
Yeah. But the fact that the private sector and local government's rights to establish its own non-discrimination employment policies is a big deal, because that was stripped away in the law that they passed. And expanding the state's employment, cannot stress that enough, what a big deal that is. That's the language that we needed. So they backtracked. They took it to the P thing, but they had to backtrack and offer and I don't even think Arizona still has state policies protecting people for sexual orientation or gender identity. So, I mean, that's a big win there. Cannot stress enough what a big win that one is. And then the last one, and this was the one that was really tough, was it seeks legislation, but they're going to have to do this in a legislative session coming up.
Emergency?
Not emergency, but there's like a brief session coming up.
Okay.
Because, you know, most legislatures don't work 9 days out of 10. You know what I mean? They're always on holiday, fuckers. But they have to pass this. So he's seeking to have legislation to reinstate the right to sue in court for discrimination. So it's great to have these laws, but if you can't turn around and sue your employer and say, they discriminated against me, there's no point in saying it, because then they just fire you and you have no retribution. And that was one of the big things.
That's just like Arizona now.
Yeah, but that was one of the big deals about this law, was that you couldn't sue someone for discrimination anywhere in the state. At least that's how it was being sold to the rest of us. And that's what everybody was so offended by, was like, you couldn't even like go to court. It was kind of like, and I think we talked about that last week. It was like passing the law saying you can't even talk about banning plastic bags.
Right, in Arizona.
You can't even discuss.
Which is, again, makes no sense at all.
There's like four or five states that have laws saying you can't even discuss climate change in the House. Like you can't, in the state legislature, you can't even discuss climate change. Let alone do any action. Like if you bring it up, you're automatically like Robert's Rules of Order banged on the head with a gavel or something. Like it's crazy fucking shit going on. Vote locally. And I have a friend.
And I don't know how you undo that. If you can't talk about it, how do you undo it?
Well, it just has to come like a groundswell from like stores just stopping plastic bags.
Or do you just, whatever the number of that bill is, you create a campaign based on the number of the bill, but you never say plastic bags.
Right.
Something to that effect.
Yeah. We're going to ban House Bill.
Whatever.
Plastic 22 or whatever you want to say. And so the mayor of Charlotte, whose name I don't quite have because she, her.
Because what?
Because her Twitter name is Mayor of Charlotte. So I'm sure she's lovely, but I don't know her name.
CLT.
Yeah, that's the airport code for Charlotte.
Oh, it is.
Pleased to see movement from governor's office of, I guess nobody has names there. They're all, their Twitter handles are always what their job is. Historic to include LGBT protections for state employees. Look forward to more dialogue. He's a complete and total douchebag, this guy. I watched that video before sure. I came here today, and it's like, oh, God, he makes me sweat. So there's some good things in this. I mean, they're sticking to their guns about the bathroom, which, how are you ever going to fucking prove it? Jennifer Roberts, that's her name. Thank you. But the executive order does reaffirm the private sector can set its own restroom and locker room policies, that private businesses and local governments can establish their own policies. And
Jennifer Roberts is her name.
Yeah, it just came
out. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked it here. I was busy Googling myself.
And as far as the private sector, if you want to be a dick, be a dick. You know what I mean? I'll just quote, what's his name, from Harold and Maude.
Okay.
Who's the guy? Yosef. What's it? Cat Stevens.
Harold? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the guy that sings the songs, If You Want to Be Glad, or whatever that song is from Harold and Maude. But anyways, if you want to be a dick, be a dick. And just post it on there. Like, our bathrooms are meant for, like, you're going to need a birth certificate to be here.
Sure.
Just post it on your wall.
Bring your papers.
I'm all good with, like, if you want to do that, because we've now seen, like, what corporations and capitalism can do to a state. Like, nothing mattered to this guy about discrimination till
money.
Till people started pulling out, including the Pornhub, which I can't believe I hit.
Ex-hamster,
which I wouldn't. Who? Just raise your hand. Who would ever go to a site for porn called Ex-hamster? No.
Okay, they're a big player in the porn game, apparently, and the beauty is that they've blocked all images and streams going to North Carolina. So when those people go, it's a blank screen. Now, the other beauty of that whole thing is
Ex-hamster, that's not going to raise him. Come on.
There's a lot of other, I'm sure, names that are porn sites. Not really the best choice of words. Anywho, what I liked was that they released the searches coming from North Carolina for different things, and gay and transgender were like several hundred thousand people were looking for that. So obviously somebody in that state has an interest, and I don't think it's just to figure out what it is so they can ban it.
Yeah.
I think there's another vested interest.
And you didn't stumble on Ex-hamster because you wanted a new, you know, furry pet.
Right.
Well,
you weren't on BettyCrocker.com and found out, oh, what's this hamster recipe? No, that didn't happen.
I know I'm always the clean white one in the room, but I would just someone tell me, go to xhamster.com. No, I'm just going to say no to your kind request. Not doing it.
Well, feel free, because we have good.
But now that
here.
I know that it's porn, now I'm worried about what kind of porn.
It's not hamster porn.
Yeah. But it's going to stay in the back of my mind.
Their spokesperson is not Richard Gere. I'm just
as I'm enjoying a relaxing moment in the bathroom with my laptop.
With your new brush nickels faucet.
With my new brush, faucet.
With your periwinkle. What's that? That on BBC, the Keeping Up Appearances, she always has her slimline phone and her periwinkle miniatures or whatever the fuck it is. Oh, my God.
That I'm just afraid a hamster's going to run in.
No, it's not.
And so,
or out.
That we kind of brushed over just, oh, okay, I'm worried about how many of you are ready.
For what?
For an ex-hamster conversation. seriously, that's wrong. So we kind of blew over it because here in America, we just don't seem to be able to get our minds around it. But everybody's talking about water problems in East Africa, which we've known about for years. The same in India, the serious water problem here. We are on the brink of one and are just to our peril, just blindly ignoring it. As a nation and as just a group of legislatures in every single state in this nation, just fucking acting like we're not going to be rioting over water real, real soon.
It's happened. In fact, two more stories, if I'm not mistaken, just bubbled up, no point intended,
yeah,
just this week. In fact, one of them here locally, I just heard it on the local news a while ago. I wasn't paying complete attention to it, but it was on the background, and they were reporting live from somewhere where water had become an issue where routinely... something that violated federal standards for water had routinely been done for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we were at Flint, Michigan level, but I think we were approaching. Or if not, we could see Flint from where we were.
Yeah. Oh, and it's all going to happen. And if Chinatown, famously, the Roman Polanski movie with Jack Nicholson, is about water rights in L.A. Like, it's one of those things that everybody at the time was kind of like, huh? But it's all about, and it's from the 40s. Like, it's a movie made in the 70s about the 40s, I think.
Okay.
40s or 50s, I think. And it's all about water in Los Angeles and how scarce it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And you're like, so, I mean, these legislators that are just ignoring the fact, it's to everyone's peril that they won't do anything about it. But we're seriously going to be, we're all going to be moving to North Carolina because I got fucking water. You know what I mean? This part of the country is going to be like, you can drop those atomic bombs again. We're done.
Real desert is coming back to the Southwest.
Because I seriously do not understand where Utah gets water.
I don't know.
Because, again, a state so lovely, they dropped atomic bombs there. I just, like, there's, I've seen a lot of Utah, and it's kind of dry.
Okay.
But there's people there. I've heard them.
And for those of you that...
I've heard them screaming.
For those of you that don't know, that aren't from America or anywhere local, if you have no idea about the story about how L.A. got its water and how the government went through and made all the deals with water rights to all of the landowners between like Denver and LA, look it up because it's an interesting story about how they rerouted shit and piped water and did like LA shouldn't even be there for all intent and purposes. Like LA would not be the flourishing
desert city,
right?
It would, other desert cities, as the sign says.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the flourishing little city that it is if it weren't for all of the water rights that got purchased from other people and routed over to the Los Angeles County.
Snow. And I get that there's mountains there, but there's no, like...
Not that much snow.
Not that... Exactly. Not that much snow.
Not much. Yeah, there's a lot. And then we're in, Arizona's in the same, kind of the same boat. I mean, we, obviously, we have some rivers that run down from the north.
We're the Hoover Dam, and there should be 6 people living here. Hardy, hardy pioneer folk should be all that live here.
Okay.
No, because it really is the Hoover Dam and then central air conditioning. Like, there's 2 booms for Arizona. One is the Hoover Dam, and the other one is in the 70s when central air conditioning became a thing. People are like, all right, that's tolerable.
And for those of you that are also having water issues, you'll love the fact that this local story, we have a little city that's a, it's not a suburb, it's a whole city of itself, east of Phoenix, called Tempe, Arizona. It is where it's the home of Arizona State University. There is a dry riverbed that runs through that city. It's called Salt River. Is that right? Is it Salt River? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I thought I had the wrong title for that. Regardless, years ago, they dammed up 2 ends of this dry riverbed and flooded it and created what they call Tempe Town Lake. And it's a tourist attraction. You can sail boats on it, do all that, yada, yada, yada. It's pretty to look at and drive by. Well, there was when they originally had built it, the dams.
Sailing a boat is a bit grand. You can row a boat.
Well, you've paddle boated on it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Sailing is a bit grand.
I think you're going 4 city blocks. Still. So anyway, years ago, when they built it, the initial dams were made of rubber, and they were supposed to be, you know, like 50-year fucking dams or whatever the hell it was. Well, they failed in about 6 years, and they had they blew out 1 year. They had to rebuild all of them. They were temporary dams in, and they just finished putting the permanent ones in again. They drained it and just started this morning refilling it. It's 900 million gallons of water is what it takes.
Would they have a hose hooked up from Aunt Sally's house?
No, they flood it actually from the Salt River.
Oh, okay.
They run the water in, but they had it dammed up and to hold it, but now it's refilling. So again, man-made lake in the middle of the desert. I'm sure that helps with, you know, any mosquito problems we've got or anything else that, that goes, needs water.
Because we feel like we've been missing out on malaria and the Zika. How do we get those?
The Zika virus. Can you bring that to Phoenix, Arizona, for crying out loud?
Oh, so, we get water for 6 hours a week. And like I said, we are such wastes of water here. It's unfathomable how little we think of that as a natural resource.
Water's cooling my house right now. I mean, like, the cool breeze we feel right now is from an evap cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm burning both power and water.
Okay, so I did find this out about, back to North Carolina for one last thing. So it was called HB2. How was it the second House bill law? But it was passed in a one-day special session of the General Assembly, March 23rd, and people who alleged that they were discriminated against on the basis of race, religion, color, natural origins, age, sex, or handicap could sue in either state or federal court. HB2 ended the ability to bring those suits in state court, although those discriminated against on the basis of a handicap could rely on a different state law to use. So this wasn't just about sexual orientation. That's race, religion, color, national origin, age, sex, or handicap. You could not sue.
They broad brushed that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
My God.
We're not just after the gays. We're after... I mean, that really makes it anybody who's not white and male.
And the irony in all...
I mean, that literally...
Right. Right, Republican and male.
And walking on 2 feet.
Right. The irony in this is they created a law to keep you from suing people, and they're on the brink of being sued over the fucking law.
Yeah.
It just... twist of fate.
But McCrory's office said North Carolina is now one of 24 states with this executive order that have protections for sexual orientation and gender identity for its employees.
If I'm not mistaken, I also saw a headline that said that Tennessee is now getting ready to pass another law or a law similar to this. And somebody was like, hold on, Tennessee, look around first.
Oh, I mean, because I think Mississippi's passed, but they're losing every... Well, Indiana went down in flames. We did, as evidenced by that sign.
Right, like, right.
You just have to be a state that has some kind of economic player in the game,
right?
Which it turns out you don't realize how many businesses are going to these states until they start boycotting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. So I mean, what a hard lesson to learn for Republicans in North Carolina. But in his video, I can put this link up because the video's in it. Oh, the link is there, but I'll put it up again.
It's also interesting with the knee jerk reactions. Nobody else thinks any of these things through about how, well, let's just pass a law for, you know, it's a religion thing. And then you find out all of the different people that it hits going down. And I just think it's kind of funny how they just shit in their own nest. It's just, to me, it's funny. It's unfortunate that the LGBT and other communities, the disabled, African Americans, anybody else has to stand up now and fight to get this all done. But it's just funny to watch. They didn't realize that when they swung the bat, it's going to hit everybody.
Oh yeah,
because this family owns this business. Well, then now they're losing money. Like, oh fuck, we didn't want to lose money. We didn't know we were going to lose money. And then
the first of these state laws that and the reason that Florida has been off my travel list for years was that they are the ones that started that law or tried to pass that law year, and it's been years now. It's got to be 16, 17 years. Where the Florida state legislature tried to pass a law that a woman that was going to give up a baby for adoption or have an abortion had to publicly list, and they were suggesting
all her sexual
billboards,
partners.
All her sexual partners for the last 10 years.
Do you recall you talking about that?
And they were just about to pass it when one responsible person with a thought in his head got up and said, it's going to be your name on the billboard. If any of you are cheating on your wives or having an affair you don't want known, your name's going to be publicly listed soon. So think before you pass that.
Squash
Yeah,
exactly. Well, what was the lovely woman? Was she in Oklahoma? The one who wanted any man who wanted to get Viagra had to get a note from his wife that it was okay for him to have sex with her.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I love her too.
Because that's kind of in response to the periods for Pence.
Yes,
thing.
Exactly.
We just want to make sure that you're not using your penis for something that's not heterosexual wife approved.
Going back to that periods for Pence, and if you don't know what we're talking about, Google. It's literally periods for P-E-N-C-E, which is the. What is he in that state?
He's the governor.
He's the governor of the state. I keep wanting to think mayor.
It was the first thing that came up.
But if you read some of the, because people have typed out their entire transcript of the conversation that they've had when they call in and what they say and the responses they get, it's just hilarious. It's so fucking funny to listen to some of those. Just want to make sure the governor knew I'm flowing today. We're good. I want to know that there's nothing up in there. And one of the guys, there was one guy who typed up all his stuff. He was talking about he felt bad because he'd had sex with his wife, but he wasn't sure that it was okay that he did it. So he went ahead and washed all the sheets, and he figures he's destroyed all the evidence. It was very funny to read through all this shit.
Oh, there we go.
Why can't we do that?
Almost,
funny.
Damn it! It almost came up. There we go. So there's your link to Periods for Pence. Enjoy it as you can there.
And like their page, because the more support they get, the more pressure is put on this dumbass governor to keep his grubby hands, no point intended, about out of the women having to report all their shit and having them control their woman's body is a woman's body. Leave it alone. Just like mine's mine. I mean, nobody wants to touch it anyway, but just leave it alone.
The national outcry to stop touching my body has really reached a fevered pitch.
I mean, even the people at X Hamster called me and said, stop. Just please calm down.
And now Amina brings up we're awfully political today, but people of color with the U.S. Voting Rights Act, because one of the last things that Stinkface Scalia did in 2013, I think it was.
Scalia story today, too.
That he was part of the people that said that racism was over and the Voting Rights Acts were repealed and no longer necessary, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Arizona had a voting scandal. I mean, it was the craziest thing.
Oh, and we're not done.
How does one lead to another?
By the way, if you don't know about this, I'll make sure you find out about him. The guy who's running against her in this coming November election to replace her. Oh, he's on board. He's former military. He's this. He's that. He's all these things, and he wants to get her the fuck out of there.
Oh yeah, I'll drive her.
I have to get a jump drive. Stand by, please hold.
So once again, broadcasting alone. So let's see. Oh, I don't know. So Marnie's gonna be here soon, or she's here.
Huh?
Oh, nothing. You keep leaving me alone, and I'm like, I had nothing to chat about.
Well, enjoy your fans, both of them. Hang on, I plug in this. I've got pictures. I got an Antonin Scalia story, too. Oh, my gosh. I like it when you plug in a jump drive and you're remembered of all the pictures from weeks previous where it's just exciting.
So here's a couple of periods for Pence. So them, Governor Pence's office, me. So I'm worried that I may have really messed up. My husband ram-burgled me last night, and today was laundry day. I went ahead and washed the sheets before I thought about it. Did I get rid of any evidence?
Ram-burgled. What is that? I've been ram-burgled.
Oh, and here's the letter to Dear Overlord Pence of uterus controlling Indiana. Dear Governor Pence, can I call you Mike, or do you prefer Overlord Pence? Anyway, greetings from Iowa. Now, a busy man like you might be wondering, why on earth is a woman from Iowa emailing me? I've got legislation to pass. Good question. You see, Overlord, I had actually not heard of you up until a few days ago when the news broke out that you signed a bill backing legislation to effectively control the uteri of all Indianan women. Now, I have never visited your wonderful state, but I do have a few questions. And given that we are sort of neighbors, I was hoping you could answer them for me, or at the very least, commend one of your male interns to draft a very thorough email regarding my concerns. I assume women shortly will not be allowed into any government facilities, given that we can't be trusted to weigh in on tough political issues. I mean, we can't seem to stop spreading our legs and worrying you men with pregnancies. Am I right? Am I right? So currently Iowa does not share your views concerning abortion, which I must say is pretty cool. Yay, Iowa. Now, with that being said, can our state expect an influx of Indianans fleeing your state within the next few months? Have you met with any Iowa representatives concerning population growth and job outlook? I mean, I know Illinois sits between us, so I'm sure some of those Indianans will migrate there. But Iowa is concerned, too. What are you doing for Iowa and other states in all of this? I mean, it goes on and on. This is way longer than I thought.
Some of the transcripts from the phone calls, we should redo them in the crime scene footage and have you guys read each other back and forth. They're very funny things. Aaron from LA, the Ram Burglar.
So recently I have discovered the brand Thinks. They make underwear for women who have periods. Gross, right? I bought these online and they traveled through your state. In fact, I have four pairs. And so several packages traveled through your state to get to me. Am I going to be charged with smuggling lady contraband? How could I have foreseen the outcome of HEA 1337? I thought I was safe in Iowa. Are you working on closing off Indiana borders in order to deter lady contraband smuggling? How will this affect my job? Thank you, Overlord, for taking the time to read through my concerns. I look forward to hearing from you once you find the time to stop consuming period blood from your bejeweled chalice.
We need to have chalices. We should get some.
Oh, my God. Concerned Iowan and woman. That is funny.
And woman.
Uh-huh.
Iowan and woman. It has been fun. All these people who get... And with this information age, the way it is, it's fun to see all these people rise up who do this, who scream out and use social media and get all these people on board. And when people really hear in real time how fucking stupid they are, it's fun.
Yeah. Will the state of Indiana be microchipping infants upon their exits from the womb, or does that come at the 1 month checkup? Like farmers, will mothers be forced to sell their children to the government for a small subsidy to parent and maintain the welfare of those children until they are legal adults? And I'm sure policies like these will be met with some backlash. Are you working with other state law enforcement agencies if residents in other states are caught harboring Indiana babies? If so, can you please detail these punishments, including any and all fees associated with baby harboring? I mean, this page is just, and it's a serious topic, but I like that they're just hitting him with overt sarcasm.
They're hitting him with just as stupid of a law that he's done. They're hitting him with just as stupid of examples. It works out wonderfully.
So Liz Brown is the she's the senator. 317-232-9400. Call her again. 317-232-9400.
Call now. Operators may be standing by.
You too might be ram-burgled soon.
Ram-burgled. Oh, that cracks me up. If you Google Ram Burgled, I'm gonna find out. If you Google it, does it just come with that story, or is Ram Burgled really? Hang on a minute.
I mean, it sounds like something I would try once. I'd probably watch it on X Hamster first, just to make sure it wasn't really bad.
Oh.
Oh no.
Urban Dictionary. Ram Burglar is, according to this, the top definition is just a funny and upbeat way of saying homosexual. First introduced on a skit from Adult Swim on the show Robot Chicken, this is from where Adam and Eve, are naming animals, and Steve wishes to call a zebra a ram burglar. Reading the lines, where is Cheryl? She's out with one of her man friends. You're not worried? Well, no, why should I be? He's the king of queens. You mean a ram burglar? You got it. Oh my God, I've never heard that.
Oh my God. Someone, and then another definition. Someone who breaks into another's house, clogs their toilet, then makes off with their plungers. When I got back from vacation, I discovered my house had been attacked by a ram burglar.
Oh God. Did you see speaking of plungers, did you see the one that I posted from oh God, what's this? Why can't I think of the name of the show? Why can't I think? What's the really cute black guy that now does the
Daily Show?
Daily Show. Did you see the one where he talks about Ted Cruz being the plunger?
Oh no.
Nobody wants to use it, but somebody has to get the turd out of the way. God damn it. That was so fucking funny.
Okay. This one's funny too. A guy who thinks he's Italian has a rabid taste for fruity umbrella drinks that he insists are not girly and has an appearance reminiscent of any number of effeminate male anime characters. Do not leave drinks unprotected around this person and always keep your pants on. By unwanted male pregnancy.
He's a ram burglar.
Oh, I just saved you the time of watching Amy Schumer's comedy show because all she did was Google these words and do them.
Where is that? Hang on, I want to play the audio from that track because we did not. Oh, here it is. We did not do this justice at all. Hang on a minute. I'm going to backtrack to this.
Because we're uniting the Republican Party.
That's not true. First of all, you're not winning. You're trying to catch up to Trump, who is winning. And second of all, you are not uniting the Republican Party. The Republican Party is uniting against Trump. You just happen to be the other guy. You're basically the toilet plunger of the Republican Party. That's what you are. Yeah, that's all you are. Because no one wants to use a plunger, but you have to get the turd out of the way.
You know, you didn't do it justice because I did actually see that. It needs that weird South African accent.
It is funny. But the analogy, I never thought about that. The analogy is true.
Yeah.
That's what plungers are for.
It's kind of.
Oh, good gosh. Oh, Harrison, hello. Welcome to the chat room. Oh, for heaven's sakes alive. And Ned, people are still there. I don't know why.
Marnie's almost here, people.
Yes, Marnie's en route as we speak. What do we do for now?
Well, here, I've got a Florida. Okay. Wait, where is that Florida story?
Who knows?
No, I don't.
You don't? Well, what are you laughing at now?
Nothing.
Okay, well, let's go with this. Rumors have been flying. We're just going to jump into the headline section, at least to do this one. Rumors have been flying that Bill Nye, famous for publicly defending scientific consensus, will be taking up a debate with Sarah Palin, famous for political buffoonery, among other things. As delightful as that would be, sadly, that is not true. They will not be making live appearances together. They will not be doing a debate. But goddamn it, wouldn't that have been funny for Sarah Palin to try to defend all of her, you know, darn tootin' and hip hollering, rootin', righty, woody, whatty, whatever the fuck it is. However, they are going to appear in a documentary. The unusual pairing, former Alaska Governor Palin and popular climate change advocate Bill Nye, will be featured voices reacting to the premiere screening of an anti-climate change documentary on Capitol Hill. Palin will participate in a panel discussion, which you know better be taped and better be broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Following the screening of the documentary called Climate Hustle on Thursday, apparently Thursday this week, a video featuring an interview between Bill Nye and Mark Morano, one of the film's producers, will be shown during the panel as well. The documentary, created by the conservative think tank Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, will be also be at the screen nationwide in one night engagement in select cinemas on May 2nd. Oh, that's good to know. So May 2nd, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
May 2nd is be screened nationwide in a one night engagement in select cinemas on May 2nd, presented by Fathom Events and Spectacast. The point of Climate Hustle seeks to debunk the myths and hype about a man-made global warming, according to CFACT press release. So it sounds to me that the conservative think tank that's putting it together wants to prove all of fact wrong, all of the fact that it's man-made and it's carbon emissions and it's, you know, all that stuff, things that you do in your bedroom at night alone, all of these things that create climate change.
And I love when, you know, Bill Nye does that thing where he argues against people that believe or don't believe in evolution, and he stopped doing it now because he's like, it's getting me nowhere. Like, these people just dig themselves in deeper. Like, they won't listen to rational thought. You can't prove anything to them because science only exists when it works for them,
right?
Not against them. They just won't hear it. But he's had some good ones, and you can find them online where he does his. And I can't remember who the famous one is. I don't think it's Kirk Cameron, but it's one of his flunkies. One of his flying monkeys that goes around. And it's embarrassing for all of them. So there's another weird law coming up that I just found, and this is what I was looking for, and I'm sorry it took me a second, because it's a two-parter, and I didn't want to jump right into the second part. So Michigan Senate passes bill saying sodomy is a felony punishable by 15 years in prison. And the Michigan Senate has passed a bill that effectively reaffirms the state's...
I already see a cycle there.
Yeah. Unconstitutional law making sodomy a felony punishable by up to 15 years in prison. Michigan is one of more than a dozen states that still have sodomy bans on the books, despite the U.S. Supreme Court's 2003 ruling, Lawrence v. Texas, declaring them unconstitutional. Some states specifically target gay relations, but Michigan's law is among those that make oral and anal sex crimes illegal, regardless of whether they're same sex or different sex. And Michigan is also one of several states with a sodomy ban that's intertwined with a prohibition on bestiality, effectively equating the two. The law makes it a felony for anyone to commit the abominable and detestable crime against nature with mankind or any other animal.
Or any other kind.
It's kind of parenthetical. If the person already is a sex offender, violations are punishable by life in prison.
Whoa.
For the last several years, Michigan legislators have been trying to pass an important package of bills referred to as Logan's Law, designed to keep pets out of the hands of animal abusers, according to the Detroit Free Press. Among the bills in the Logan's Law package, named for a Siberian husky who died tragically after acid was intentionally poured on him.
The dog's name was Logan. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Senate Bill 219 by GOP Senator Rick Jones. In addition to barring convicted animal abusers from owning pets for 5 years, perfectly legitimate, SB 219 would update language in the state's ban on bestiality and sodomy as follows. And it is about adding humans to that and making it about straight people, too. Well, it's already unconstitutional. Like, there's no reason for this to go up the chain. Mm-hmm. Consenting adults in the privacy of their own home it's Lawrence v. Texas. It's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
So these laws you can't arrest somebody for it. You'd have to arrest somebody that absolutely has never heard of a lawyer and is going to some, like, kangaroo court or banana room, whatever that's called.
Right.
But just going somewhere completely out on a limb that any lawyer is not going to be, it's called Lawrence v. Texas, and it's already been thrown out.
Done. Yeah.
I mean, I am an expert on trials now because I watched The People versus O.J. Simpson.
No, I don't think that's true. You're not an expert, but I would defer to you on a lot of things because you know a lot of information.
So, but the good thing is the guy that wrote the bill originally to protect animals, his heart was in the right place, but now because they've like hijacked his bill, he's afraid that it's going to lose the part about animals that he was trying to protect.
And it's just people.
And it, you know, pouring acid on a dog and sodomizing them, not the same.
Not
both
the same.
Bad, but
both are going to hurt the dog.
Yeah, right.
Just to let you know, according to xhamster.com, the porn site that will not let North Carolina see what you can do with inflatable toys.
Yes, I mean, a sodomy does include a blowjob in this case.
In the end of hour one, we're coming up on hour two. We'll be right back. Marty Ryer joins us in just seconds. Stay right where you are. It's Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi again, everybody. Just a couple minutes after 8 o'clock. Hour 2 is what we call it right here on the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. Joining us now, Marty Ryer has just walked in. I really appreciate the black V-neck. I really
do. I do this now. I like to feel more part of it.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I may adopt them into my wardrobe,
too. You should.
Well, I always think I should wear either black or like a lovely blue or green for Al.
Yeah, I usually wear blue, but this t-shirt is horrible. It's like I'm stuck.
You have like a blue or a green kind of thing going on.
Oh, my entire life.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, I try.
Imagine what you would do if you ever saw me in red or orange. It would never happen.
Oh, I'd pass out.
Yeah, exactly. Many.
Not that I've never been with you and passed out. I'm saying it would be different. It would be for a different reason. Uh-huh, absolutely.
Yes. As she went down.
I want a beer.
Red shirt!
Oh, heaven's sakes. Do you need, as a twist off? There you go. Yeah. Atta girl.
Have a beer, lady. That's almost frozen.
I need to take a pull off of that one. That's good.
Is that a summer shandy you're having
it's
there?
It's a summer shandy.
Summer shandy. Got it. Very good.
My liney summer shandy.
Oh my gosh. You know what I forgot all about?
Hang on.
I had a gentleman caller over recently who enjoyed one of your beers.
Oh.
They were a great lure to the web.
Well, I'm right here for you.
The web. The web.
Allow me to bring shandy over.
It's the beginning of hour two, and I forgot we have to do this right here.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, of course, our word is Ram-burglar.
Ram-burglar!
God damn it, we looked it up.
Well, yes.
You don't know anything about it yet, but
I have no idea. But Ram burglar the fuck out of it.
A woman was Ram burgled and then was worried because she washed her sheets and needed to send them to periods for pens. But it also meant a gay person, and it meant
periods for pets.
A Ram burglar also had broken into a house. There was an actual burglar who broke something and
broke into the house, took a big shit, and then left with all the plungers.
Oh,
yes, that's nice. Right.
I'm paraphrasing.
It sounds like something from McDonald's, though. The Hamburglar, the Ram burglar.
No,
I'm not sure what's
happening. In an odd twist of fate, the Hamburglar could be a Ram burglar.
Now, is Ram burglar cousin to Hamburglar?
Yeah.
Probably like the dark, like the Samantha Sabrina thing in Bewitched.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he is constantly in costumes. There's something up there.
Constantly.
It's vertical stripes. Come on.
Sounds constant.
No, horizontal. Yeah. Horizontal stripes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Hi, Anant. Hi, everybody.
Everybody.
Anant and JJ.
Is anybody with
so Ram Burglar is
Don from North Carolina and Harrison and Aaron, Amina, Anant.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, while these two email each other back and forth, get on it.
I'm on it.
You got work to do.
My
bad. So, we're going to follow up with the Michigan anti-sodomy, missed you too, the Michigan anti-sodomy laws. Miranda Johns, from guess where?
Not to be confused with Marnie Ryer.
No.
Because you've called me Miranda in the past.
Oh, sorry.
I just
with
want
love.
Our listeners to understand.
Well, she's 21, so does that...
Oh, fuck off. Ram burglar.
Ram burglar.
I'm going to Ram burglar the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dinah Shore.
Oh, now we're having fun. Oh, yeah. Those fucking bells. Fucking.
It's been 1 year since I greeted people with Dinah Shore.
So nice.
A Naples, Florida woman was caught on tape having sex with her dogs multiple times. The collier. Isn't that kind of strange? County Sheriff's Office said Miranda Johns, 21, was arrested, and she looks a little bit like Deborah Messing, was arrested Monday on misdemeanor charges of sexual contact with an animal, according to the sheriff's report. It's weird that they have that on the books. The footage... Oh, I don't know who this person is. Oh, we'll find out in a moment. The footage surfaced after Kurtz Via Vicencio was accused of sexually battering Johns, investigators say. When law enforcement... interviewed via Vicencio, he offered his phone to an officer as proof that he did not attack Johns, the report indicates. He then told the police officer he had videos sent by Johns on his phones of her having sexual intercourse with her pets. The officer in the sheriff's report said he saw several clips of Johns receiving oral ramburgling from the dogs while she masturbated. One clip allegedly shows Johns attempting to get one of the dogs to penetrate her vagina with his erect penis.
Now, ramburgled.
I'm not sure which bathroom they would use in the story.
Oh my God, you are not kidding.
Ram.
When you say she looks like, it's insane. Deborah Messing. She looks like Deborah Messing.
I thought it was a story about Deborah Messing.
It's insane.
I'm like, where are you looking that you don't see it?
Right there. Wow.
My apologies to Deborah Messing. Yes. You're lovely.
She really
Deborah's
does.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have other sister.
Now, Via Vicencio described as John's boyfriend, and I like that John's boyfriend is hyperlinked. Like, we need some kind of clarification as to what John's boyfriend is. I'm afraid to click it, because I'm afraid of how we're using John's in the sentence.
Well, then it could link you right to X-Hamster.
Yeah, exactly. Xhamster.com. I used to have sex with
North
hamsters.
North Carolina, well done.
You missed the first hour. You miss a lot, Marnie.
Yeah, I know. I'll try to catch up.
I'm just horrified by someone that would say, xhamster.com. I'm going to click on that link.
Well, no, what about
I'm going there now.
No, but wait, what about Rocket Tube? Does that not affect you?
There's no hamster in a rocket
tube.
But
it's, tube, so it's a rocket.
I mean, it sounds exciting.
I feel that he's lunging for the computer.
Yeah.
I see a lunge.
So, I mean.
Special space program.
Rocket makes me want to ride a motorcycle. I think there's something going on there that I don't know about.
Sounds not delightful.
So after just being described as John's boyfriend by CBS affiliate Wink News. I'm not kidding. WINK News. Stop it now. Had allegedly encouraged her to send him images of her sex with the dogs. She said the two had discussed the possibility of her having sex with a bigger dog, according to the report. Johns was released on bond. What the fuck?
I'm trying to get this stuff to
Aaron doesn't get the people that look like other people thing. We've played this game with him before.
We have. And I don't know about... she looks like a heavier sister of Deborah Messing. I mean, she's not like an identical.
Yeah. Similar to.
Similar-ish. Similar enough.
Now, for those of you wondering, WINK is a CBS affiliate in Florida.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Are there promos like, it's the news?
Oh,
sure, well, it's the news.
That eye's winking at you. Yeah. I'm not sure the Tiffany Network would approve of that.
Yeah, which eye is winking at me? Which, I don't.
My brown eye's winking at you, baby.
I gave up that eye winking at me that's when filthy. I was like Jeez. 19. So
that's what I said the last time I was ramburgled.
I gave up being ramburgled back in 91.
Oh. Well,
so
that.
There you go. And I just want to say that I agree with everyone who said that pubic lice is now bestiality and all that shit.
I also, when I came in, because I got here a little bit late to that, thought it said public lice. And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
you really are just taking it all in context. And sometimes there's words that you're like, second look. Yep. Okay. That's
there
what it says.
There you have it. Right. I'm still trying to get this.
You do your thing. I'm going to go ahead and do the Scalia story. George Mason University subtly changed the moniker of a law school recently, named in honor of the deceased Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, due to the creation of an unfortunate acronym. On March 31st of this year, George Mason University announced the renaming of their law school in honor of the late Supreme Court Justice, who had passed away the previous month. An official press release bearing the date announced the new naming of the institution as the Antonin Scalia School of Law. Well, the problem with said acronym is
join the asshole. I cannot tell you how many times I vetted this story to make sure that it wasn't from
too.
The Onion.
I did too. I totally did.
I went at this Ramburglar from like five different angles.
So the asshole, the Antonin Scalia School of Law, and somebody online was trying to be all critical about it. They're like, "Well, it would be a smaller O of fuck you, whatever. It's still asshole."
Those are the kind of people that you're just like, you know, I never liked you.
I block
I've
you.
I've been meaning to tell you for
I'd
years.
Like to block
I don't
you
like
on
you.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Can I please do that?
You're taking all the fun out of an asshole.
Were you born an asshole?
Yeah, my lips are already getting dark.
Oh,
no, my teeth are so white.
Because you're drinking the dark wine. God, I forgot about that. You mentioned that earlier.
All white people Safeway.
Well, Brenda and Robin.
Yeah, Batman.
Batman, right. Brenda loves to drink red wine. And whenever she does, God love her. But she looks at a bottle of red wine and her entire mouth kind of turns. Yeah. And when she started drinking wine years ago, we were playing Pictionary and we're sitting there. And so she and I were on a team and she leans over to like kind of give me clues. And I thought, oh, that poor thing. She must have had the pen in her mouth. I didn't know. I had no idea because it was that, and it was like in, you know, like in her teeth. So she turns to give me a clue, and you know, goes through this thing. You have a little.
Ramburgled by a pen.
The pen ramburgled the shit out of your mouth right there. Anyway, of course, everyone just started laughing at me. I'm like, wait a minute, that's wine?
Few months ago, I was on a very polite date. Like, I was like seriously trying to be the best possible version of myself. Of course, I wore lip gloss.
And glittery.
And so the partner in the date, the partner in the crime, suggested red wine, and I'm like, oh, I just like no. should not go on. But I did it anyways. And then the wine was delicious. We made a truly spectacular wine choice and had a second bottle. Well, an hour later, I get up and go to the bathroom, which is rare for me to make it a whole hour without using a restroom.
Without having to go to the loo.
Not only did I have, like, had my teeth turned completely the color of Count Chocula, but I had a wine mustache. Like, when I was little, I would drink Hawaiian Punch, and my mother would be like, how the fuck does the Hawaiian Punch get there? So I used to be addicted to Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah.
Little sugar.
Little right here. Right here.
Little Hawaiian Punch. Yeah. Oh, I had two purple fangs here on mouth and brown teeth.
I love it, yeah.
And
you were pretty.
Oh, it was a hot fucking mess.
Hi, Jenny.
I honestly could not get out of that place
you
fast enough.
You were pretty.
I was like, do you have any bleach or acid in the establishment?
Anything? Can I get anything I'm sending you, Mr. McKee, just know that if you can get those things, great. I may not do the story. The end.
It may all be for naught.
So what?
No.
She may be ramburgling you.
Why try?
But just because it's fun.
Okay.
All right.
God bless. Oh,
this is actually the one.
If we're ever at a loss, let's just Urban Dictionary shit, because
that is fun. Ramburgled.
So let me tell you while I'm trying to, because who the fuck knows? I'll never get any of this done because I can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
But.
So tonight I had to go to a viewing, a wake, right? Okay. Now a lot of people, and I honestly was curious about this because my own partner had never been to one and had no idea what the fuck it was that she was going to, had no idea. Are you both familiar with a wake?
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. How are you not?
How do you not, right? Right. So I didn't know what the rest of the world might
happen. Oh, younger
like,
family,
might
she
happen.
Probably has alive grandparents. I never thought about
actually,
that.
Actually, both of our, all four of her grandparents have passed. She doesn't have a super long memory of things and things that are more difficult.
She's been ramburgled.
She ramburgles the memories.
It's good to know that a teacher in the educational system has a very short memory.
No, history teacher is not on her list.
If it's something bad, right? Yeah. Some people will block things out. So we're on our way. I have never laughed so hard on the way to a wake.
Yeah.
Because she's like, wait a minute, where are we going? Why did they call it a wake? Why isn't it a dead? What is going on? So she has that. And I say, well, you know, basically, like, I'm trying to give her an idea, and everything that kept spilling out of my mouth became even funnier, where she's like, well, wait a minute, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you stand around, and you pay your respects, and you, to, you know, talk to the family, talk to friends. I have that on here,
oh,
the
good,
definition of a wake. I was reading it to her, and it became even better. She said, I said, you know, you go the night before, typically before a funeral, and it's like the viewing, if you will. She's like, so you stare at a dead person? I'm like,
yep.
Well, yes, sometimes. And I said, sometimes there's food, and you...
No, that's the after party.
It is the after, for some, but some wakes that
oh, they have
I
the
have
food
into,
right there?
They have food. They're just a wait. You sit there, you hover.
Uncle Morty holds the bowl for the dip.
Well, that's why you always show up for the last hour. Exactly. Yeah. Can you hold this for me? It's like me with my patients. Hey, can you hold this for me? Oh, look how compliant they are.
Raise your hand if you don't want to watch Judge Judy.
Yeah. Yep. See, he wants to watch Judge Judy. He would have clearly objected.
We were hysterical. I'm like, yeah, you stand around. She goes, so you hover over a dead person and you
work up
you
a great
stand
hunger.
And talk, and then you eat food around a dead body. And I'm like,
I have never seen the food at the actual...
Food has actually been at the wake. And she goes, so it's a Midwestern thing.
So is... No.
Hovering and not... No. Like, oh, for her, to hover, gab...
But I forget that Niagara Falls, Buffalo is almost the it's the east-west.
Sure.
It's pretty far to the central hinterlands, if you will. But no, but where would you put the food? It's a funeral
outside.
Home.
Like, they're not outside. Out in the parking lot. You know, like, we got a food truck for Grandpa's wake.
We're going to tailgate.
We're going to tailgate.
We're barbecuing before. We're drinking
fan.
After. Big football.
It's like
fan.
Weekend at Bernie's, yeah. Kind of.
We've got the cooler. We're good.
No, that's if she propped up in one of the chairs. Then she Weekend at Bernie's, she's not in the coffin. She's sitting
that's
there.
That's right. And remember how we've done stories on that? Like, now they have people that...
The
socialite in like in Louisiana,
that's right.
New Orleans, who's
and then the white trash guy in the bar
with her cigarette, yes. Right? Yeah,
there was a black guy in somewhere that they had him sitting in the corner like he was a rapper, like it, like that's just weird.
Oh, that is for just
to walk in and be like,
weird.
Now who's that? The guy you're here to pay the respects to. Okie dokie, sure.
Who's the quiet dude in the corner? That's Bob.
Yeah, remember when he used to rap?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's Bob the Rapper.
And then from your text message, I saw that, was it like a one day for 3 hours?
So today was like 5 to 8, right?
Yeah.
And then tomorrow is the actual funeral.
Right. Because someday, you know, they used to do, it was very common to do 2 day viewings, like one earlier in the day and one later in the day. And, They're
interesting.
They're horrible. And
that sounds horrible.
And it's
for the family, it sounds horrible.
That's what I mean. It is horrible.
Yeah.
And in planning these beautiful events, there was one time where it was like, oh, Elfie's not going to put up with that. Like, we gotta shorten that shit down.
Sure.
They're
did they do
awful.
That for your moms or for your dads?
Yes. I mean, we're awake family.
I mean, the morning.
No,
night,
I think they were both in the
yeah,
late afternoon. And you do it like
still.
before night shift, before, you know what I mean? It was always meant for like people who had not 9-to-5 jobs, but for people who had shift
right,
work.
Right,
I mean, just
absolutely.
From the town that I'm from. But I never heard of the food because there was nowhere, in, because those were someone's, you know, funeral homes were always someone's, in our town, they're someone's house.
Right. Now,
like, they're like a little, they're a little three or four rooms, depending on how, you know, how big a business they're doing.
Sure.
Displaying people. But then you always, like, had, the second day you had the wake party at a local restaurant, or you would
or
go to someone's house.
Uh-huh. Right. Absolutely.
And everyone would bring a, you know, you bring a dish to pass.
A covered dish.
And I love it that you have to keep entertaining fucking people.
I know it.
That's just the worst.
And that whole, do you want me to bring food? Just fucking bring the food.
Yeah.
Like, just bring the food. Like, we're going to, we'll make food tonight and bring it. It's a big Italian family, the Martinique.
Oh, they're the best ones to die.
Absolutely.
Because you get the best food out of them.
Well, and
which I'm sorry to say,
to a degree, except for it sounds like, you know, it sounds like because it was such a kind of quick thing that that they're not making as much food. So we're going to try to make something tonight so that it's not just cold cuts, but something that can freeze and keep.
The first time I heard about the bringing something to eat, I was really like, I was horrified. I saw it go on, and it was at someone that I... someone's wake,
okay,
and someone brought food and like gave it to the family, and I was just horrified by it. But then when it was like my family member, we were so like just done with everything that the fact that there was food there to eat at the house constantly was a great comfort, because we were like, nobody wants to cook, no one wants to do anything. You're like, all right, unwrap that thing, find out the hell's behind
eating.
That, and then you think of, oh my god, it's grandma's stuffed shell. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, that's Angie's grand stuffed shells.
That's right.
Break that out.
Break it out.
And then you're sitting there in those guilty moments where you're kind of having a laugh with the family, and you're like, you know, there's turtle cheesecake downstairs. You know, some.
I saw Aunt Fanny.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, totally.
Some fucker with good taste brought us some turtle cheesecake. When they're all gone, let's make a pot of coffee and eat the fuck out of that. And these are actual conversations.
Yes.
No, the funeral, the Anantha funeral is different. The wake is where you go to like a funeral home and you. You pay your respects. Usually there's a like a procession. You go down a line to greet
it's like
the family members.
You know, many people compare it kind of to a wedding.
Yeah,
where,
to a
you know,
the meet and greet.
The meet and greet kind of thing.
Everybody stands in a line and people
respects.
Say horrible. Yeah, people say horrible things that they mean to be nice, but they're always
like,
horrible.
Oh, she looks so good. No, she still is dead.
She's in a better place
Real
now.
Dead.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
She's right there.
Yeah.
No, stop talking
We're
about her.
We're in the
like
same place. I'm not feeling better. This carpet is horrible. How is this a better place?
And Jenny has that she thought that the wake was an Irish or a Catholic thing. And Erin said the same thing. She was under the impression it was only those. And I said, well, I'm Lutheran, and we have
I'm Methodist,
my dad
yeah.
and, you know, my grandma.
Half of my family's Irish Catholic. I've been through it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the whole funeral home is for. That's not the... that's. And then you go to the church service, which is usually the funeral, where you go to an actual church and you do the ceremony.
The more ritual,
the more you do the prayers, all that kind of stuff. So that bitch travels that last day,
absolutely,
because you go from the home to the church, and then sometimes they'll do a graveside service as well. So by this time you're like,
that's
all right.
This
is a lot
after.
Of attention for one person. It's not their birthday. Settle down.
Oh, that's very funny. Yeah, and if you go to like a black funeral or an Italian funeral, something like we're talking like heavy duty kind of. The South and all that. Oh, those things can't find.
Well, and it's
I mean, like wailing into the.
Oh,
the casket
But it's where you do, and that's where you have to worry about. Was it an open casket? And you have to ask, like, what's she die of, and is it an open casket?
I know it. The first time that, and it was so just that idea, not to like hang on the idea of death.
But it's fascinating how many people actually have not.
Mm-hmm. I know it. That well, Harrison said she hasn't either. Hasn't ever been to a wake. That's just something that. We just did. I mean, like, when is the wake? When is the service? Like, you always ask those questions.
And which viewing are you going to?
Right.
What are you doing after?
If there's a, And the food, when they ask, see, that's just it. So Anant is talking about the mourning of someone lasts for 13 days.
Oh, and, Jesus, I don't have time for
but
that.
But when you have, for folks that are Jewish... It like, for instance, you're not supposed to cut your hair for a year.
What?
And they do the whole thing about they cover the mirrors.
Sitting Shiva. I do that when I get out of the shower. But
yeah. Unrelated.
You don't want to ram-burgle yourself.
Sure. I didn't. Yeah, I'm not going to ram-burgle that. I don't know. But, you know, that is definitely something that now I have decided that what I would like to do is just the jazz funeral kind of thing in New Orleans.
Oh yeah,
where they're playing the
they just
music
they do
they,
the slow march to the above ground cemeteries.
Exactly. And I just want the music.
The above ground cemeteries?
You know. Yeah, because of the flooding and everything.
Because of the flooding.
No, everything. No, they have everything in their mausoleums. They're mausoleums. No one's buried in New Orleans. Everything's above ground.
Oh, I think there should be a law. Everybody has to be cremated or shipped to another state.
Yeah. Right. Well, Indiana, Governor Pence.
Yeah. Senator
Pence.
Periods are over with this one. Bring her in.
But it kind of turned.
Last thing I'm going to send you, Clayton.
At least in my family, they kind of turn into, because we always do the wake, and they started cutting it back after my dad's. Like, we were like, we got to cut the time down on this shit. Right. There's only so long I was able to like sit there and listen to horseshit. And people are well meaning. It's one of those things, and I told you the story about what people say after someone dies.
Yes.
That they just, with all the heart and good intentions, they just say the most horrible things.
Yes. So, he looks better now than he has in forever. How is that possible?
you know he's dead, right? So,
and who's the makeup artist?
Finally, Grandma got her makeup right. Look at that.
She always needed a good gay to get made.
Exactly. We had to outsource.
Yeah, exactly.
Send in Amanda Berry.
Yeah. So in my family, it always turns into, there's the funeral, which is always horrible, but then we do the...
Oh my gosh, I mean, that's crazy. If a man dies, he's mourned for 5 days. Women are mourned for three.
Oh, my God.
Sexism and death. Jesus Christ.
So we do the party afterwards. There's a restaurant. We kind of call it the death restaurant at this point because we've been to so many wake luncheons at it.
They probably feel the same way. The restaurant,
they're used to it. Son
of a bitch.
You're at Niagara Falls. What is there left to do?
Here comes
people.
The Perkins family. Who died?
Oh, and it's the whole strew of us, but the food is always so good there that we kind of look forward to it. Like your stomach's kind of rumbling.
Is somebody gonna die?
Somebody sick?
Somebody sick? Do we have a death den?
I really want to go to the Como because the food. And if Dawn was online, she'd be like, "Oh, we had a Como for a death party."
The Como.
But then, it's called the Como Restaurant and Lounge.
Okay.
And that really is where we have our wake parties.
Sure.
But then afterwards, we usually have a family thing, and like the tone of it is usually set by whoever's the closest relative.
Right.
And one of the things when a friend of mine's stepfather, second husband, blah blah blah, but a close member of the family, but came up later in life, but very close to us. And she had written down, it was her stepfather. Ooh. She had written down a list of, and he was an old Polish man. All of the things he said wrong, all of his expressions, all of the things that when he married her mother, all the things that like don't touch the termitat because he had this like
termitat.
I caught it, don't put it that.
And
I
honestly,
did.
We
Mel out, Blanc was a neighbor of yours, good,
but with a Polish accent. But we broke out that list, or she would break it out because we were like, oh my god, please bring out the list again for Uncle Ted, like for Teddy. And we just wanted to hear it, and it was just a great remembrance of him, but it was from one of those parties.
Was this in Niagara Falls?
Yeah.
The Como in Niagara Falls?
Yeah, the Como restaurant.
I'm looking for it.
There's two locations to help you.
Can you give me a street?
Pine Avenue.
Pine Avenue.
It works. And thank you, Jenny. It was one of my closest friends for the last 25 years, dad, and thank you. Yeah, it was fast. You know, there are a number of people that are so good with death and so like, meh, it happens. And it does, obviously. And when someone is older, you look at it and you say, well, you know, lived a good life.
Yeah.
And all these kind of things. Dead is still dead.
Oh, yeah. So we learned that from Lost. Dead is dead.
Right. But when someone that you love is not there anymore, no matter what, it can be difficult. So that whole just move on, meh, let it go, can be difficult. And today was Diane's dad was just a wonderful guy. Wonderful guy, teacher, and he really was. And funny, real dry sense of humor. And my ex-girlfriend Gina used to teach with him. And so we've known them for a real, real long time. The family, when you see the family, because that's who you're there to support.
Oh, of course.
I mean, obviously.
You're not there for the dead. You're there for the living.
Right. I mean, like, what the hell?
That's what life insurance is all about.
Well, that's what I've heard. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It also offers, and a lot of people won't bring children, but it also offers closure and a chance to say goodbye. So it makes the death real.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always dragged to wakes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
My mom was a bit, because she was the youngest in a very old family, and then she adopted me, and I was the youngest in a very old family. So she was very insistent that you're going to have a really, you need to have a very realistic outlook on death, because people are going to start dropping here like flies.
Well,
then my family was very old. My grandparents were born in the 1800s. They weren't staying around forever.
Right. Sure.
You got to brace yourselves.
Absolutely.
Gird your loins.
Well, the first funeral that I had ever gone to, I was telling Aaron, was in third grade. My parents thought it would be a delight to send me to a Lutheran school, parochial school, because that's going to make me better. And anyway, so we got there, and Robbie Petrie, I think, was the kid's name. I'm pretty sure. Petrie something. His
Dick
not,
Van Dyke's
not
name.
Rob Petrie.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke's name on the Dick Van Dyke Show, strangely enough.
He got his father passed away, and we had to sing, the choir had to sing. So we get there, and it's one of those old Catholic churches, so we're up on top overlooking everything that's going on.
Bird's eye view of it all.
But it was a funeral, and I'd been to funerals at 7, 8 years old, because we're in third grade. But I'd never been to a funeral where there was an open casket through the whole thing. And so I had never seen a dead body. And all of a sudden, we're sitting up there, and they wheel him in, and you're just staring like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
What's going on? And then you see people react in the whole. And that kind of carried with me for a long time. I thought, I don't want to do that.
I have no memory. I have no memory of my grandpa Al except for him in his casket. Like, that's the only visual I have of him, is I remember... like 5 years old, I think it was when he died. Mm-hmm. That's the only memory I have of him. Is
it? And so I don't know.
Like I don't know what except for in his casket. That's the only look I have.
Well, and an aunt asked, about bringing children to funerals. And what we were just saying, I agree with you. I think it's smart.
It's a chance to say goodbye.
Well, and
it brings closure.
And a reality.
Yeah.
That people do die.
Yeah. Because you need that in your life.
Well, to go through life and not have that kind of picture, the kids that were there today, you could tell people had openly spoken about, when people die. And they got up there because it was, if anybody wants to say anything, et cetera. And the kids who are 6, 7 got up there and were, and it was way different, but it was... I think good for them. And we as adults have hopefully been taught how to deal with that kind of stuff. But at the same time, this was, I think, a really good thing for them to be able to express their feelings about it. So it was neat. And it was a really nice remembrance of him. So that was nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, that part was a good, good thing. Anyway, sorry about all the death talk.
Al, curiosity question is... sorry, but off mic. Is that?
It's been beautifully remodeled and redone. But yes, that is the beautiful Como restaurant on Pine Avenue, in the Italian section. I like that there's an Italian section to an almost entirely Italian town.
What did you call that? The wake.
Yeah, we call it the funeral restaurant. The
funeral
wake restaurant.
The wake restaurant. That's it.
Jeez.
That's funny.
Okay, just to keep it morbid for a second.
Keep it real.
So,
keep it real.
Let me just finish this thought with the chat room. So, a favorite restaurant of my family's, that's why we go there when people die. Because we want to remember them fondly with food from there. But they also sell that Italian version of egg drop soup, which I never remember what it's really called.
The wedding soup?
No, it starts with an S. It's something with an S. So it's this soup, but in Niagara Falls, I guess, and I never had it. It wasn't a soup I had ever had before. But my mom was telling me to go one time when she was...
You're not talking about, the matzah,
No, it's something with an S, and it's Italian, and it looks like it's kind of similar to egg drop soup, but it's not.
Okay.
It's not egg drop soup.
She
had been unwell for many years, and I was there visiting and, helping out my sisters for, a minute or two. And she tells me, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the Como and pick up some food for us. What do you want? And she's like, well, I want some of the egg drop soup. And I'm like, all right, bitch... now you have Alzheimer's. It's an Italian restaurant. Where are you getting this egg drop soup from? And she's like, they sell it. And I was like so mean to her on this trip. I'm like, listen, lady, I don't know where you get this shit from.
Listen,
but we're going to an Italian restaurant. Settle down. Stop with the egg drop soup stuff. You want spaghetti or meatballs? What are you looking for?
You're being foolish.
And so I get to the place and the lady's talking to me. She's like, oh, Alfie, you're back in town, blah, blah, blah. Is anybody dead? And I'm like, not yet. And just enjoying your food while everyone's still alive.
Right.
And so I'm like, funny story. You know, my mother wants egg drop soup. She's like, oh, I'll get you a bowl. Then I'm like, what the fuck? That's not, like, what do you got that's like egg drop soup? And then she rattles off the name and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was soup. And the restaurant that was next, that used, the Italian restaurant that used to be next to Postino's on Central, it was one of, it was like their house soup all the time. And it just cracked me because every time I said, I'm like, oh my God, I was so mean to my mom the day she asked me for Italian egg drop soup.
There isn't such a thing.
I'm like, bitch, you crazy.
We've got to figure out something with my computer because this does not want to even, it's not being friendly.
So awake is a vigil.
It is.
It means, yeah.
But not according to Aaron. It's called a dead.
It's no. called a dead.
Yes.
All right, so there we go. So, and now the news.
With Gary Ganoux.
Where is, oh, here's what I need. What's going on over here? Sorry about that.
Anyway, thank you guys for all of your input and kind words.
Oh, wait, there it is.
Stracciatella.
I was on their menu right now. Oh, looking for it, too. I was going to call them, and I found out that they're closed.
Yeah, but it's stracciatella. It's spinach, and it's called, it really is called Italian egg drop soup.
Well, it
because
sounds
a lot of people don't want to
which
try to pronounce that.
Which story do you want to go with? I have some pictures ready for you.
Oh, God. You weren't there for the conversation where I never knew what Toblerone was and I never wanted to ask. I just assumed it was some kind of, like, prepackaged meat, like salami or a stick of pepperoni.
Really, really funny.
Oh, which story do you want to start with? I have pictures ready for you. What's your fucking problem?
Nothing.
What's your damage, Heather?
No matter, unless it's Facebook, nothing is coming up.
Oh, there you go. You got one.
I know, but.
Oh, unless it's Facebook.
Yeah.
It's been ram-burglared.
It's been ram-burglared. So, so do you have it all?
Do
all
we need?
Those things?
Well, I have. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So do I'll you just
need
do
to?
It on my phone.
Do we need to do a probably?
So do you do a story?
Do we do a scan on your computer when we're done with this? Is that what
we
need to do?
We might need to because this is insane.
All right. Then let me do this one, and I have pictures of my own for this story.
Got my own pictures, goddamn.
Let me hang on. I gotta get the pictures ready.
Sorry, guys.
No, don't worry about that. We're good. We're good. We'll get through this.
We's good.
A playful pooch is in the doghouse after it got a hold of its owner's Chinese calligraphy ink set. The energetic animal somehow got into a large amount of black ink while its owners were out to the movies one night. They returned home to find their pup had covered much of the floors with black inked paw prints. Here's the first picture we show of the dog. The paw
That's
prints.
Beautiful. You could find
now,
it and
oh, but wait till it gets better. Like this one. Look at that floor.
Oh.
Not so pretty.
Yeah, not so pretty.
That's been ram-burgled.
The dog decided at one point to touch the bedspread, but decided, nope, maybe not. Maybe just the one paw print.
There you go, just the one.
The story has a happy ending, though. They were able to mop up all the ink and clean the floors. They returned home to find their puppet covered much of the floors with black inked paw prints. An Imgur user posted the photographs of an acquaintance's home to the picture-sharing service on Monday alongside a caption, quote, "A family went to the movie for 3 hours and came back to this." It's unclear exactly when and where the images were taken, but they're now going viral, with one of them going alone, garnering more than 2 million views. The mucky pup did at least appear to have some respect for its owner's bed, leaving only a single inky paw print on the bed cover. Fortunately, the ink was easily washed from the marble-like floors, and the owners soon had their home looking
so
like
am I looking at the cleanup? Are you
that's
showing
the
me
cleanup.
The success? Oh, okay.
Right, that's the cleaned-up floor. You see the mop? See the mop up in the top?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, I don't see any paw prints there, so I think you're just showing us what a good job a mop can do. I feel like I'm involved in some fetish
called
of
joy.
Yours.
Yeah, joy. According
ringable mop.
According to the imager user who posted the pictures, the ink is non-toxic to dogs or humans. So the dog was fine.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah.
So it wasn't chocolate.
Chocolate.
No, it wasn't chocolate. Or poinsettia. Poinsettia. Yeah.
The world's ugliest fucking flower.
I know.
If I die in December and somebody brings a fucking poinsettia, you push them off that cliff.
It'll be like going to...
We're going to use carnations for you.
Yeah,
now.
That's fine. It's not a poinsettia.
Oh, well, there you have it.
Actually, we may just use pot.
We could.
The warm smell of cojitos. That's what we're looking for.
Bring him back, actually. Yeah. So let's do that.
Wait
please.
A minute.
No.
Unburn me.
I'm not going. I'm not leaving.
Not dead yet.
Who brought marijuana?
We've come for your liver. Oh, you don't want my liver.
Can we do the... I want to show where Al will be taking his next vacation.
Oh, yeah. I have 6 pictures.
Yes.
So, I'll just start with any one of them. Does it matter?
Does not matter. Airbnb's latest listing is an underwater bedroom in a shark tank.
Look at that.
Fuck you, I'm going. Get my travel agent on the phone.
Airbnb has boasted listings that are in trees, things that have been seen on television, places where they have...
Oh, I would so be there.
I know you would. I saw this. And even listings made exclusively for everyone's favorite pastime, baseball. But the company's latest endeavor is making more waves than all those combined.
That was a hammerhead shark.
It's an enclosure with a large cylindrical bed and breathtaking immersive views. How lovely.
Are they free-range sharks, or is this some horrible SeaWorld story?
This underwater bedroom, which puts guests face-to-face with sharks and other ocean life, is up for grabs for a night stay from the home-sharing site. It's part of the company's Night At program, which temporarily transforms iconic spaces into homes for one-of-a-kind experiences. Simply put, up to 550 words about why you should spend the night in the aquarium. It's an aquarium, honey. And you may be one of 3 lucky shark lovers to win the sleepover for 2 of a lifetime.
Oh, because I want that to be like out in the middle of the ocean and that hammerhead's going to eat some swimmer. You know what I mean?
Let's take a bit of a deeper dive, shall we? If you get past the whole sleeping mere feet away from sharks thing, the whole thing is pretty absurd. Take the house rules, for example. No selfies after dark because sharks are sensitive to light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fine.
Avoid seeing jaws before you sleep over.
That's not appropriate.
They're kinder than you think. No sleepwalking or night swimming. I think that makes sense.
That's fair.
Yes.
Fair.
No, well, I'm pretty sure that there's no way to get out of this little
thing. I'm thinking no.
Besides like some kind of a horrible crack. Yeah.
That would be bad. Keep your heads and feet in the bedroom at all times. Sheep can't swim, so
you don't see round sharks you don't see instead. Round beds very often outside of a a movie from the 70s.
I would never go to sleep in there. I would just lay there and watch those fuckers all night.
Totally.
They better fucking feed something still, down there. They better throw one seal in
they
there.
They do. Still, we can't help but be intrigued by the whole idea, which also includes a dinner inside the aquarium.
Well, here's your
I doubt yeah, they're here's serving your shark.
No, they're probably not serving shark.
I don't think so. That seems tasteless.
Yeah.
Al is the one on the right.
Not paying attention to his dinner companion because he has a red wine mustache.
No, the reason is because there's less wine in my glass.
Oh, that's fair.
I was just giving the long-haired wig giving
that's
you.
That's a good point.
I would be tasteful for the
benefit
of the sharks.
You'd have a meeting and informational session with world record-breaking freediver and shark enthusiast Fred Buley.
Oh, is that Fred?
Is that Fred?
Hi, Fred.
I'm more uncomfortable with Fred watching me eat than I am with the sharks.
By the way,
Fred, you can go back to the surface now.
Keep in mind, are you ready? And round trip airfare for winners who are not local to Paris, because that's where the
Paris. God
there
bless the French.
There are plenty of fun, interesting Airbnbs options out there, but
that means
none
the wine
with
was good too.
Much
yeah,
light.
No kidding.
Oh, that's delightful. That's a pun I can get on board with.
I thought you might.
I would love to be rambungled right in that bed, ramburgled.
You know, they have something else that's
bungled.
Rambungled, because I'm sure I'd fuck it up
with the round bed and that whole kind of able to see out. It's
go back to that picture.
Which
just,
one?
So I just blew my nose on camera. Which one? No personal shame. That last one was that a cloth? No, not that one.
Hang on, this one.
Let's review. Does somebody have a stuffed animal in the form of a bat?
And
a
shark.
Stingray. Oh, it's a stingray.
Stingray. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with people that you would get a stuffed bat?
I agree.
Stingray, back on board.
Hang on. Here's a closer view of the bed. There you go,
Al. There's a starfish.
They
well
look upsetting.
And that's
like
a tiger
bat.
Shark next to it.
Yeah.
And a starfish.
And it does look like it has pinchers, actually.
Turns out stingrays kind of gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm voting.
I'm not comfortable with sharks watching me pee.
I didn't see there a bathroom go. There. I think you gotta hold it the whole time you're underwater.
No, I think you've got to climb up a ladder to go.
This is like a cruel irony.
Surrounded by water.
Yeah. When we're born, the gentle tickle of the water against the glass, but no toilet.
Don't tap on the glass.
Yeah, don't tap
startles
on the glass.
Startles the shark.
That's right, please. And no selfies after dark.
God, no.
No. Anyway, so I figured that that's where Al will be vacationing.
Sure.
If we can't find him, he'll be at
32,000 feet below. I am so on board with that whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I like
so
it.
On board.
I like it.
Oh, can I show you a picture that we showed earlier?
Please.
Just because you're not up to speed. I want to make sure that you are.
About Ramburgling?
No, not Ramburgling. Our new picture, our What Would Rachel Maddow Do? She's right up there.
Oh, would you look at that.
Look at that.
Where did that come from?
Well, the frame came from Bootsy Limon, but I just printed the picture because I wanted her to watch over and inspire us during the...
I think it's brilliant.
During the
and
show.
And actually, I think she's looking at you like, what the fuck are you talking
well,
about?
Well, when I posted it on Facebook, I tagged the fuck out of her, so I'm hoping to get some sort of a reaction from her or the crew.
Nothing
I still want
that.
Her to either call in or show up here sometime and just do the show with us.
I think you would just... You
she's
would
a drinker.
Yourself.
She's a drinker.
Well... We have to have
I'll write way. A strongly worded note to
sure.
the region.
Yes. MSNBC.
Give me another half a bottle of wine.
Absolutely.
We'll get this done.
Maybe she can bring Brian Williams with her, too, if she wants.
Oh, that'd be delightful. I just hear him stare at the handsome couple.
Oh, that's
just
fantastic.
Give fucking a try. Come on.
I like it. Oh, no.
Which picture should I show next, Marty?
Come on. You look so good together.
But now I have to find it on here because I keep forgetting that my computer doesn't.
I'm not mad at the Trump story.
Yeah, that's the one I was
going to
say.
That you're going
please.
For?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. So, love of Jesus.
Not going to help you.
Nope, I know. Well, not right now.
Not that besides, he doesn't even exist.
Well, you don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, not anymore. We went
not
his
anymore.
Wake.
Right. I was.
I had a lovely Italian egg drunk soup after.
I was
after.
Very, very busy.
Egg drunk.
We were at the. Here we go. So a construction worker defiantly hangs a Mexican flag atop Trump Tower.
Oh, I love this.
Diego
and
Sol
a fine-looking man
Reina,
too, I might add.
A 30-year-old Mexican-Canadian steel framer found a creative and a bold way to protest Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump's campaign, fueled by blatant xenophobia. For a few minutes over the weekend, the Mexican flag briefly flew atop the soon-to-be-open Trump Towers in Vancouver. He says, I put a Mexican flag on the roof of the Trump Tower in Vancouver just to show that he is benefiting from us and that we are working hard on his projects and that we are not all criminals, he explained in an interview.
Look at the guns on this guy. I mean,
I know.
Jesus, look
seriously,
at that.
Right? Trump's latest signature real estate development is expected to open later this summer. But I thought it was interesting.
And file for bankruptcy later in the fall.
Right. From the concrete pouring, finishing, drywall, taping, wood forming, and general labor, Mexicans were there building it, Reina wrote on his Facebook Saturday. The comments Trump has made about us did not stop us from doing the high-quality work we have always done in our home country or when we migrate to the U.S. and Canada. Reina's post has been shared by more than 3,500 times as of a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I thought
good for him.
Absolutely. According to the Vancouver Sun,
and I'm waiting for the Canadians to say they're going to put a wall up to keep us out.
But according to the Vancouver Sun, Reina, who doesn't work on the Trump Tower's construction crew.
Oh, whoops.
Was still able to take the elevator to the 20th floor of the building Saturday morning before he climbed the stairs the rest of the way to the top of the 63-story tower to hang that Mexican flag. I did this to counterattack all his statements about Mexicans and Muslims. The last straw was when he spoke against women. He cannot be insulting people he is benefiting from. Look at that building. Look how beautiful it is. And that is a result of a coordination of all the ethnic groups in Canada. He says, I've seen every race and every religion working in that building. The flag was removed Sunday morning, but Reina, who was born in Mexico and became a permanent Canadian resident in 2011, told HuffPost Canada that I'm not concerned about Trump rising to power. I'm concerned about his value and his points of view extending to our country, which going to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Last December, Vancouver Mayor Greg Vancouver. It's an older woman in Vancouver.
That's a lion. Terribly sorry.
It's nice.
Cowardly at that.
Mayor Greg Robertson called for the renaming of Trump Towers, citing the controversial billionaire's hateful position. So that was what I loved, was that this guy didn't even work.
That's
on that
funny, because my next thought was, when did he lose his job?
Right,
yeah,
right. But I love that he went in there and climbed 20 floors, and then he climbed 43 more to be able to put that flag up there.
That's why he's got those fucking arms.
Because I was going to say, well, he didn't climb on the outside.
I don't think he walked on his hands.
I know, he did.
Well, I'm pretty sure
he's posing for the guns.
He looks good. I ain't mad at that. There you go.
And the fact that I'm mildly attracted to somebody who's wearing overalls
and a hard hat. Now, and not all, and not part of the cast of Hee Haw.
Right.
Now, again, this view behind him, the river. Where is this?
Vancouver. Oh,
Vancouver.
It's Vancouver. Got it.
And if you've not been, one of the most beautiful cities.
Have not. We were kind of like in the like when you take the ferry and you can. Go up there, but we didn't get to go into Vancouver.
It's a beautiful city, really so clean. So I've been there a few times, and it's just lovely.
And forgive my ignorance. Is that on the eastern?
Western.
Western.
BC. It's right above Seattle.
Seattle. Oh, got it. So when you take the ferry from Seattle, you can go there. And so the ferry goes in, and it's gorgeous. It's absolutely breathtaking to just be a part of the ride in there. But I wish we could have gotten...
And why couldn't you? What was the deal?
It was when my dad was still alive, and we had... he only had a very brief, not because of dying, period of time for this trip. Because just went to visit real quick, and so we went to the ferry and kind of looked around. But if we could have... And there were a lot of things, because that was 85, 86. Not a lot of things were handicap accessible.
Got it.
So my dad was paralyzed from the waist down, for those that don't know. So that being the case, there were some reasons.
A lot of things he couldn't. Yeah. Right, got it.
Yeah, that he looked at like, well, that's not going to work. So anyway, that was why.
But if you get, it's beautiful. And they do, I want to say it's their pride. I don't know if they do some kind of summer festival like Toronto does the Canadian Exhibition or the Canadian National Exhibition, or if Vancouver either does Pride or they do some kind of like festival in the summer, but the like it's all boats and you got a regatta and it's all like on the water and in the land, and it's just a gorgeous festival. And there's always just riddled with gay men.
Batman.
I was there for that one year, and it was just one of the most beautiful trips and lovely weather, and the people were friendly and everything was clean and. Yeah.
It was one of the most beautiful, I mean,
and that
Seattle in and of itself, like Washington State.
If you catch that shit on a sunny day, it is worth looking at.
It absolutely
but
is.
But I think it was probably their pride I went up to, because I did a couple Canadian prides for a while. I was all proud gay Canadian for
Isn't that ridiculous? I grew up in Minnesota, we're 5 hours from the border, and I never have been to Canada.
Oh.
I've been damn close, but never been to Canada. I can
literally
ridiculous.
See it from my house.
Okie dokie, Sarah.
Your next story coming up, I'm assuming, is the cardboard one.
Yeah.
Okay. I just found out that you can get life size custom cardboard cutouts of yourself. Most celebrities you can order for $40, but you can submit your own picture and they will do a custom life size cardboard cutout of you.
Yep.
And I don't know what the cost is just yet, but I am willing.
You can get it on Groupon.
Oh.
And I was actually going to do it all of us.
I'm worried about both of you.
Why?
I was going to do it for like,
I think
all
that'd
of
be
us.
Fun.
I think it'd be hysterical.
Yeah.
Hysterical. Yeah.
No, I think even if when I finally get Kevin Bouchard to settle down enough to do the redo of our pictures for the show, we just have that done in life size, and then we just go put it in an AMC theater.
Sure.
In life size.
Yeah. The show.
Yeah. Because I want this shirt to be 60 stories high.
No, but in the pictures
come
you
on,
wore...
if it's 60 stories high, it's slimming.
But perhaps I'll plan in advance and not wear this shirt. There is an answer. This is going right in the garbage.
Oh, no. Because we're going to reuse the pictures from that photo shoot.
Oh, good.
In the new one.
Yeah.
We're going to merge you from an old photo shoot into the new photo shoot.
Smart.
It's lovely.
I like it a lot. I just have to find that. Sorry.
Just downloading the pictures made me laugh at this story.
Oh, isn't it funny?
Yeah.
So I need this one. I mean, I'm going to do this one quickly because it is. This cracked me up. Did you guys talk? I don't believe you did last week. I wasn't able to hear everything. I listened for a little while. You weren't that funny, so I turned it off.
Yeah, okay. fair.
Just kidding.
I'll give you that. All right, go ahead.
So a condom company advertised on Tinder, and they used AIDS as a punchline.
Oh.
Wow.
Right? A series of ads for condom.
That was for your comment, not for the AIDS. Sorry. Yes. Poorly timed.
Thank you. a series of ads for condom company Hero have backfired in Australia. With sexual health campaigners saying they stigmatize people with HIV and AIDS and contain significant factual errors. The advertising campaign launched on Tinder. This was Monday night a week ago. Mm-hmm. And features a series of anthropomorphized. I can't. I tried that. I practiced that last week. And now it went anthropomorphized. STIs. Anyway, we'll have to look that up. Google that. Introducing themselves with tongue-in-cheek biographies. Someone says, my ideal date would start with a single unusual sore. I'd then spice things up with skin rashes and sores in your mouth, vagina, and bum. Romantic much, says Sid Phyllis. While John Aria tells users to swipe right if you're looking for someone serious, infertile kind of serious. So they were going through, and it was definitely people kind of going, there's someone named Herpes, H-E-R-P-E-Z, 23 years old, less than a kilometer away. Hero Condom, CEO, told Ad News the campaign is designed to promote a message of safe sex, critical to our efforts to reach youth and destigmatize the use of condoms is to encourage young people that being prepared is actually being sexy. Carrying a condom should not be seen as a sign of bravado or promiscuity, but rather a symbol that you are in charge of your own sexual health and that of your partner.
Yeah,
or partners.
It's called anthropomorphism.
Thank you.
When you assign attributes of human traits to something that's not human. So, like, when you make your dog talk, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like a puppet.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Like, if the puppet talks and you give it human qualities. Or in this one, you're giving the disease, making the disease a perfect person. Like, oh, I can't wait to meet a pussy sore.
Real or live. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, but it's one of those, it's like Asian jokes. It's a dangerous line.
It is, because the two characters, there were two characters that were in here. My new thing is now, is she Asian or have Down syndrome?
Yeah.
Two characters named AIDS and 80 offer jokes about HIV and AIDS. Knock, knock. Who's there? AIDS. Says 80, while 80s tells people to only swipe right if you like incurable diseases. The two profiles relating to AIDS have been removed from Hero's website, but are still circulating on social media. The co-founder of the Institute the Institute of Many, which is an umbrella group for HIV positive people, says that the ad trivializes HIV. Beyond the factual errors, the campaign associates human characteristics with STIs, reinforcing the idea that certain types of people are to blame for STIs.
Yeah.
And that avoiding a certain type of person isn't how you avoid contracting STIs, he said. And that this continues to the
same. And it's one of those dangerous lines. Like, you're trying to be a little controversial to get the word out. Like, it's kind of like bringing someone to, like, you show a picture of STDs to children so that to stop them from having sex or to convince them to have safe sex. But at the same time, are you, like, making it, you know what I mean? Are you
putting a condom on the banana?
Right.
The most glaring errors are AIDS related profiles. AIDS is a syndrome that you can't catch off of a Tinder route kind of thing. So,
right, yeah.
I thought you
could see where there's a well-meaning intent that just kind of fell flat. Like,
no, absolutely. And that was where the condom company responded and said, like a day later, they responded. The company under fire for making the AIDS jokes while trying to sell condoms has questioned whether people would be upset if the ad's characters were renamed after HIV instead. Hero Condoms, which bills itself as a socially responsible company, was criticized, as we just read. The campaign, which also features characters named syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia, was designed to promote condom use. The founder said that the ads had not made a clear enough distinction between HIV and AIDS.
Yeah.
And did not apologize for using AIDS as a punchline, which I thought was...
Because your intent was good. It's one of those things. Like, you're on the right page. You're trying to help people save. Of course, you're... What was the word they used? A socially responsible... Mm-hmm. It is a socially responsible thing to do. You just... Your ad campaign just fell flat.
Absolutely.
You just go back and regroup and think, all right, we're like...
And had it been HIV, would that be different?
Yeah, and it just depends on how you sell it and whether or not, you know.
Right.
Plus, we're in this hypersensitive time now.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Everybody it sees something, and instead of saying, okay, I get it, we go way the other way. Yeah,
like, do you watch something and have the thoughtful conversation about it, or do you see something and automatically go, not on my campus?
I'm offended.
Yeah, I'm offended.
Right, right.
Microaggressions.
They mean this.
Yeah.
No. Maybe not. So, anyway.
What was it you called it if you add a voice to a dog? What was it you called that motto? What was it? The word?
Anthropomorphic? Is that?
Yes,
did I say that right?
That is right. Anthropomorphic.
When you said that earlier, it reminded me of this video. I wanted to play it.
Food. No, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So, yeah. So, you know, I went to the fridge and I opened up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yes. What was in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah?
I took that out, and I thought...
Yeah?
I know who would like that. Me! So I ate it.
Oh! No. You kidding me?
Nope. Not kidding. You know, I also noticed there was some beef in there. Yeah, you know, steak... You know, juicy. Well, I ate that, too. But I went back to the fridge just a few minutes ago, and I put something together really special. You're going to love this one. I took some chicken.
Yeah.
I put some cheese on it, and I covered it with...
Covered it with what?
I covered it with cat treats.
Yeah.
Then guess what?
What?
I gave it to the cat.
Drunk enough to enjoy an animal video.
That's good stuff.
God bless Chris. That's delightful.
That's very funny.
That's me. Bake the maple bacon.
Maple?
Oh, the maple kind.
Yeah.
Oh, the maple kind.
Yeah.
You've made bacon taste like syrup. How good does life get?
I know, right?
I'm going to go with my laptop into the bathroom for a minute and think about that.
There's a fan in there.
Yeah, okay. Don't get too Ramburglared in there.
Well, we were going to stop at 9, but I think we're going so well, we may go to 9:15.
We have to do the cutout guy. We'll do the cutout guy. We got
plenty of time. We're good. We're coming back. It's Marnie and Al and me in the studio on a Tuesday night. Thank you for being with us, Harrison and Amina and Aaron from L.A.
Jenny.
Mama Di.
And Nant.
Oh, I chimed in, too. Look at that in the chat room.
I
kind of remember typing that. Anyway, we'll be back.
Joe.
Hour 3. Is Joe there too?
Joe was.
Right
in here.
He's very busy raising ducks.
Very handsome with the ducks.
We'll be back in just a second on a Tuesday night.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
All the conversations that go on in between segments of this show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. There's Joe. There's Joe right there. He's took a break from raising the ducks to get into the chat room. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock.
I'm
hour
back
3.
From the maple-flavored bathroom.
Oh, oh. Good. I gave it to the cat. Anyhow.
Ramburgo.
We're going to attempt to get through this next hour.
I can't believe he's going to try and teach ducks through PowerPoint. I think it's inappropriate.
What?
A PowerPoint presentation to of them or for them?
Yeah.
We're going to need a little bit more explanation about that.
Or not. Could go either way.
Oh, that's great. That's good stuff. 6 and 1/2 dozen to the other.
That may be brushed nickel handles there. I don't know. Or not.
Brushed nickel.
Got some brushed nickel.
Damn fuckers.
Oh my god. Your ass looks like a bag of nickels. Well, I'm sorry about it. God damn.
I've recently been Ramburgled. It's not my fault. He turned my ass into a bag of nickels.
That just sounds wrong.
Oh, that sounds like a cheap date.
It does.
It'll be a line on How to Get Away with Murder next year. That filthy fucking show.
Oh, I love that show.
He turned my ass into a bag of nickels.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, yes. All right. Raya, are we ready to do this
we
one?
We are. So,
in no uncertain order, I'm assuming. All right.
No, it doesn't matter. Right. There was a gentleman who sent his mom a cutout of himself as a joke, and the mom ran with it, which is fantastic.
It looks like this.
Yep, there's the cutout of the guy.
Oh, this is why we know about cutouts. Yeah.
So the apple never falls far from the tree. A Belmont University student that you see there, Dalton Ross, decided to leave his hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, to study abroad in London about a year ago. He came up with what he thought was a hilarious idea. He said, I was settling in and wasn't talking to my mom as much, so I thought it would be funny if she got an unexpected package that was a life-size version of me. He says when Susan Talley, who is Ross's mom, got the package, she decided to prove that she had a sense of humor as well by taking her cardboard son out to a basketball game and snapping a picture of it.
Oh my God,
Talley
batting
didn't
cage.
Stop there. She decided to take the cutout of Ross to a whole slew of events, like a family dinner, a day out at the batting cages, a game of frisbee in a field, and even Easter brunch.
That looks like she's going to bury
the
body. She
also brought faux Ross along while running daily errands, like taking a shower, which is kind of creepy, swinging by Subway for lunch, and going for a medical checkup.
Oh.
Mom even sent her set her son up with a sexy date for Valentine's Day. Oh, my God. I was cracking up at the Valentine's Day thing. And some of Tally's captions.
No, wait a minute.
You got the Valentine's
That's
Day.
That's really funny with a person standing behind him holding the Easter basket.
Yeah, that is good.
No, wait. The shower one is just there with a towel.
He's got the wrap around him.
Oh, my God.
Mom's got problems.
Do you have the date there for the Valentine's Day? Mom even set her son up on a sexy date for Valentine's Day.
This one, where he's at the table with Barbie.
Gesturing grandly.
That's right.
And I'm going to ramburgle him later. That's what she's saying. Should.
And some of Tally's captions for the photos are straight up priceless.
I'm going to use that heart as an IUD. One.
It's better if you just do the close-up on that one.
It's so funny.
What happened to her face?
She's been burned.
Ramburgled.
Well, she was in an accident. Yet. She was in an accident.
She's going to use the heart as an IUD.
Went to the doctor at some point.
The captions for the photos are straight up priceless. Like this one that says, getting caught up on current events before bedtime.
Where is that?
Oh,
one?
The places we will go.
Oh, wait, this one. He's in bed with a book.
Oh, the places we will go. Best part, Tally didn't email or text these pictures to her son. She uploaded them as she took them to Facebook for all the world to see. Ross, who was asked by HuffPost not to include a link to his mom's page, told them that. As for who is the mother of all jokesters, in the Ross Talley household, Ross gives it up to his mom this time. My mom is funny and out-joked me on this one.
I just think that's fantastic.
Oh, isn't that fun? Easter brunch. But mom may not be laughing when she reads what her 22-year-old son has in mind for the cutout when he gets back to Belmont, Nashville. He said, I definitely plan to drop off the cutout in my morning classes next semester and then just go back to sleep.
If I could have gotten away with that, I would have done
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't that have been great?
The batting cage is fantastic because he's just about to be hammered there.
I just thought that
he's
was
gonna be
so fun. I thought that.
He said
I've looked at those
Subway
cutouts a number of times.
I'm going to run out of wine long before I stop enjoying the word ramburgled.
Ramburgled.
I just want to tell you. This math doesn't work. I know that.
I just realized what you said and the fact that that's the name of the book.
Yep. Oh, the places you'll go.
I didn't put that together. I'm sorry.
That was a current event. I loved that.
Yes.
Oh, the places you'll go.
Isn't that great? I just thought that was fun.
Makes me want to just sit in one to my mom and see what she does with it. Well, she'll take me to the grocery store.
Sure. She'll have
you try to get you to like wine. The cardboard cutout likes wine. I don't know why you don't.
I'm pretty sure that if you put that in the back seat, that's not for the HOV lane. I think
it is not. We've done stories.
People have tried better things.
We've done stories. Yes.
That's correct. Yes. So I think that she just, as long as she's careful about that, we're okay. Then it'll be all
right. Mom doesn't go to the expressway anyway. So
yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. I might use it then. I might borrow it from her. But I just thought that was priceless. I thought that's good stuff.
That's good times.
Oh. Times great, oldies.
Jesus Christ.
That's good stuff.
It is. So lifesizecustomcutouts.com. That's where I'm looking right now to find out what I can order. That's
funny.
Yeah,
I just think that that would be fantastic.
You can also get them with a little device that you can record your voice and it will repeatedly say something like
that wouldn't be fucking annoying.
Oh, right. But like at the entrance of the store, welcome.
Clayton
McKee. Yeah, no. I don't need
step into the foyer.
I don't need it to talk. I just I'm good. And you can have them created with thought with the thought bubbles so you can change the text in them and all that. I don't need that.
No.
There was
but that would actually be kind of funny each day. What's up?
The first time I went to Disney World and the Haunted Mansion, and in Disney World it's much bigger. Everything's bigger in Disney World. But,
I thought that was in Dallas.
No, Disney World is in Florida. Orlando.
Florida.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Oh, yes, you got it. Yeah. Oh, all right.
She ramburgled us.
She did.
I ramburgled.
Turned my ass into a bag of nickels, she did. So the guy's...
I'm very uncomfortable.
That wine's getting better.
That's how I feel.
I feel bad
like
for
a
nickels.
Bag of nickels is what I
feel Thomas bad. Jefferson's rolling over in his grave on purpose. So the guy slams open the door and he says, step into my foyer. And I just cried and walked away. I was like, oh, fuck
no.
Nothing good is happening behind this.
Step into my foyer.
But, that was the most terrifying thing I have ever experienced was that lurch-like fucking creature slamming those doors open. I didn't go. I just turned around and walked away. I was like, oh, nope, smart people don't go in there.
You rain.
Yeah. And everybody made fun of me and shamed me into going back in there. Everyone was horrified that I was too afraid to go into the Haunted Mansion.
I was afraid. You're just a big baby.
Oh. It went something like that. Thanks for bringing back the memories. Now I have post-traumatic ramburgling.
Oh. PTSD.
This wine is delicious, by the way. Can't believe I drank a portion of it last night.
Yeah.
We got to go to the all-white Safeway and get more.
But you can do it early in the daytime.
Yeah, exactly. Remember what time?
No.
Where
are we?
32nd Street in Calvary.
Oh, God, totally.
Totally.
Yeah, that's the only one I go to. Totally. Not for that reason. At all, I swear to God.
Do you really go there?
Yeah,
it's from here.
Not really.
I'm at 32nd Street in Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're going
up. But all that glamour.
You live right around the corner from Fry's.
Yeah, I know, so that's why I go to Safeway.
Yeah, and El Zapo or whatever it's called, El Centro. What's that store?
That's called fucking Super, and I'm not Super. Going there.
Oh, I'd go there.
Well, of course you would.
Yeah, but you're on a dating app. Yeah. She's trying to buy food.
I'm looking for produce. They're both delightful.
I gotta tell you, the all-white Safeway is really like the Disneyland with no wheelchairs of the world. That is the shit.
It is.
They didn't open your doors. Come on in.
They don't even have handicap parking. It is so exclusive.
They don't allow the handicaps there.
No.
There's just well,
it's the North Carolina of Safeway. I'm just trying to tell you. Don't even try to sue them. I had to show my card to get in.
I used to go to that Safeway when I lived at 32nd and Indian School.
Sure.
Years ago, I used to go to that Safeway occasionally. But I haven't been in many years. It sounds like they've upgraded a lot.
It's delightful.
Yeah, they have great wines there, it's actually.
The wine section is seriously like its own Tomorrowland. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the doors to Tomorrowland close promptly at 9.
Now, there's also a white girl Safeway at 7th Street and Glendale that has all covered parking.
Shut up.
It's all why would I make that up?
I don't know, but I
want to check it out.
All covered parking, if I'm not mistaken, they all have solar panels, and I'm not sure what it's powering, but it may be the Safeway.
What?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's the kind of eco-friendly nonsense I'm on board with.
There's that.
Well, isn't that delightful?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still go to
not that my glamour. The single girl Safeway is just fine.
Oh, and but, by the way, my ghetto fries is delightful. I'm not worried about that.
We're not worried about sponsorship, boys and girls.
But if I need something that's a little bit more trendy, then I will be going.
But
there.
I don't want to pay
If I want barefoot wine, I'm going to Fry's. If I need something for Al, yeah. I'm going to Safeway.
That's a good comment. That's interesting. Yeah. Target and Walmart.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things.
But, I mean, you want to talk about two different parts of Disneyland. Yeah. There's that Target Walmart combo there. That is two different worlds, depending on which side of the park.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, in 19th,
I mean, you cross three different borders to go across there.
And what separates them is a Costco, a whole another minefield.
And ironically, one is more north than the other.
Yes.
Think it through.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it. Wow. That was a long way to get there.
So I had that, and I saw you struggling, and I thought, I don't know what's happening. That was good. I like that.
All right, so now we came across as really horrible people for a few minutes.
Look at that, you racist
fucker. We haven't really dipped into the racist pool in a while, so welcome back,
Leo. Sure? Let's ask our listeners.
We ramburgled that.
That was delightful.
Us? Yes.
Now Joe D, now we do have to give a shout out to the ultimate fries. The fries at Tatum and Shea.
Valet Car Wash?
Oh, that one, yes.
Yeah, the fries at Tatum and Shea is the entire Disneyland experience.
Well, but if I ever went to a valet car service to get my car washed, he'd have something to say about it.
No, but he would recommend there because it's delightful.
Oh, it's a wonderful fries. Everything's in there.
Everything. It's kind of like the internet. If it's not in that fries, it doesn't exist.
It's the fries marketplace.
Oh, delightful.
So it's got all the fancy. It's got everything.
Yeah, I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like La Placa in Athens.
I
mean,
I don't ever want you to say La Placa again. Because it doesn't even sound like somewhere I'd want to go.
It sounds like something you do to ducks.
Yeah.
It sounds like something like a dentist.
When they're about 6 weeks old and just tender.
Yeah.
After you ramburgle
them. I'm going to La Placa that duck.
After I ramburgle the fuck out of that quacker.
I'd like your chicken La Placa, please.
What's for dinner, Daisy?
So honest to God,
cover the duck's ears.
They're asleep.
I was at a tiny little dinner party once, and I maybe had a more wine than I thought I did.
Oh, that's never happened.
And it was right by there, and I accidentally got in my car and drove because it really was a night of like coffee and dining and wine. And I made it, and it was an early dinner. I think we started at like 3 p.m. It was like a brunch. I think you'd call that brunch.
Linner.
Whatever time of day. Linner.
Oh my God.
So I'm When Gravity Strikes, a new Fox special. So
hosted by Megyn Kelly.
I drove the one block and realized I should not be behind the wheels of a car. So I pulled into the Fry's superstore. And I seriously spent 3 drunk hours wandering around the place. And they have a little wine tasting section, and I just got drunker. And then they have a cheese bar.
What?
I swear to God, they have a bistro in there.
Was talking about that. Okay, so now I know we have
a
closer.
Another meal in there. I drank some more, and I had to Uber. And I had to I discount cabbed my ass home. I had to take a cab and go get my car the next day because I just got more trashed.
I like the sound of it.
Amina is like, you guys have all that stuff in one place, and yet you drive everywhere. Hey.
Doesn't make sense.
That superstore is far, far away from me.
Okay, so it's far away except for Batman and Robin. We're talking about when they're like, we have to go to, we have to take you to this place. They said Aaron will get lost in there, and just because
I sat on furniture.
And cheese?
No, and I sat on furniture. I did. Yeah. Remember I told you, when you told the story about that store that you go to and sit down and enjoy the.
Oh, yeah.
That was me in that place.
At Fry's.
What was that?
I napped a bit, because I was a little drunk. Again, I was drunker than I thought I was. And I only went half a block. Sure. My friend lives right there. And I was like, oh, no, this is not a good idea.
Right. I need to.
Because
I
that turn that traffic light at Tatum and Shea.
I like that.
Yeah, and I had to cab it home. I had to cab it home. I got trashed at a grocery store. Moral of the story. You can't trust me anymore.
Ramburgled.
I was ramburgled.
A couple of things that you haven't brought up tonight that I'm surprised. I figured for sure you would have got to it.
This show was sick on some kind of track.
But we haven't officially done an entertainment section. Do we need to do it?
Because
when do you not have a lot to talk about?
Well, that's why I couldn't figure out why y'all needed me here. I figure if he's, if Kat is going
to
be gone.
Well, because he doesn't listen to my section.
You. Well, that's true.
But at one point he left me, and I was literally in here by myself, and I'm like, I have nothing prepared.
I walked out to my desk a couple times in the first hour and just left him alone with the listeners.
The first time I was fine. The second time I was no.
With Al, I kind of figured the way that the show works is if Al's going to be gone.
It's lights out.
Why even have the fucking show?
Right. You've all learned that how much I talk when you're like, wait, wow, I only prepared 5 minutes.
I think it's a different flow. when you
it's
know,
a different flow, no matter who's missing.
It's not a heavy. Yeah. It's not a heavy flow.
Not a heavy flow.
Not
for me. Anymore. Yeah. That's fucking.
Oh, that's true. Does Pence know what you did?
I laugh.
You should call him and let him know.
Call him,
all clear.
I heard it was all disconnected.
Well, voicemail, maybe direct too.
We provided a phone number there.
I would be a part of that.
Yeah.
That did make me laugh. But yeah, wouldn't that? I just laugh when I go through the tampon aisle now.
Yeah.
You stupid people.
I do too, but for different reasons.
I cry in the condom aisle. I'm like, oh, remember when I used to use those? Now I just wait till they expire. I think we need a moment of silence for the McKee.
No.
That story just ran burgled him.
No. Let's just move on like this.
I was on the right page. Okay. We had the OJ finale. We got faked out by the Bates Motel. I have a couple movie reviews for you all. There was a really well-done documentary that's on the tubes now. I have, absolutely the worst TV station in the country. Has one good show on it. CNN's running some specials, some news, and some things to tune into later. And so that's about Anita Hills. And I love all the things that my thing spell corrected.
Oh, my God. I just realized that there's a place for me to put my feet up. After all this time.
Haven't changed the studio.
No. After all this time, I just realized.
This same setup has been in three studios.
I don't have said setup.
Oh,
it's not for you.
God damn it.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Okay, so we'll start off with last week. Well, no, do you want to start with the dead guy?
Dead guy.
Tell us the story, because I can't do a Merle Haggard.
I thought I was the one that was at the
Two different things. Yeah. Well, no, first thing, I thought you were going to do the other dead guy, the gay one. David Guest.
Oh, he's still dead. Yeah, he had nothing to offer on him because I didn't know who he was. But he, Liza Minnelli's last, hopefully last gay husband.
Right, hopefully.
As gay as Christmas, that one was.
Died today.
Possibly gayer.
Gayer.
And he never ramburgled her.
Christmas, New Year's.
I'll just, spoiler alert, she was, her ass is not a bag of nickels after him.
Oh, bag of nickels.
She's got all the quarters still. Mm. She never made change. But the weird part is, there was some kind of a joke about him being dead, and so he had a special that was coming on called David Guest is Not Dead or something like that.
Oh, wow, really?
He had a really weird, and they had to take down the whole website today because he is dead. But I guess he was on some reality show called I'm a Celebrity.
Get me out of here.
In quotation marks.
In quotation marks.
How are you a celebrity? Were you ever famous? Mm-hmm. But there was a joke about him being dead on there, and he went with it and was he had a special coming out. I don't know. I don't know what he did besides Liza Minnelli to make him famous and be on some
nothing.
Yeah, never heard of him before. Haven't heard from him since. And because the plastic surgery just kept
such things.
Because the plastic
talk
surgery
about
got
your smooth surface
got worse and worse. I didn't recognize the name at first, and I certainly did not recognize the photo.
Doll, God bless him.
Yeah,
rest
exactly.
His soul.
Rest his
poor, rest his world his heart.
Porcelana.
Yeah. Ramburgled heart.
I think there's gonna be a lot of queens at that wake.
Oh sure,
murdered. Just a guess. He wasn't murdered.
No.
Was he murdered?
Was it murder?
Murder on the dance floor.
And yes, Whoopi Goldberg is launching a marijuana dispensary, medical marijuana dispensary in New York State, or possibly New Jersey, because that's where she lives.
New Jersey, I think, is where it is.
And it's for menstrual
because
menstrual
they haven't
pains.
Passed that, because they have passed that in New Jersey, correct? But not in New York?
New York has it. I don't think Jersey has.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite.
No, I think New York has medical marijuana.
I'll look that up while you're doing it.
So he's it, and now please chat about the Merle Haggard.
So the Merle Haggard thing, and I realize not everybody is up on Merle Haggard, who was a famous American country singer, wrote songs like We Don't Smoke Marijuana in Muskogee, and a bunch of other different songs. Anyway, turns out to be a little bit more open-minded, and I dare say liberal than a lot of the other people that are lined up in the country, because he posted something about how he thought the Republicans were treating Obama was completely wrong, because he is the president, and there's a sense or a level of respect that comes with that title, regardless of who you are, what you are. Even though I think a lot of it just not just because he's Democrat, it's because he's black, and everybody just wants to fucking lose their mind over that. Anyway, he passed away, and I found out that somebody that I'm connected to on Facebook, because of an entirely different group, he was good friends with Merle Haggard. Oh. And I just found out about that. I mean, I knew from interactions with him that he was friends with him. But I found out that this gentleman named Dale, who I'm friends with, had traveled with Merle for many, many years. And he said he recounted a story on his Facebook page that one morning, far too early to have been awakened, his phone rang in his hotel room. It was Merle Haggard. Merle called him over to his room and said, kid, if you're going to get into this business, I need to explain some things to you, how the whole world works. And he said the entire country music world is run by women. And Dale was surprised to find out about that. And then apparently every person that Merle Haggard sent him to, a CEO or a manager of something, they were all women. He's like, oh my God, the whole fucking company, it's all run by women, the whole world.
That's good to know.
So right. he went to different things, and different women would be like, Merle sent this kid here, you need
They're
to hear him. You need
music.
To find, you need to listen to this guy, Merle Haggard sent him, yada, yada, yada. So it goes on and on and on. So then I found out, and this was very interesting to me, because this was something that you won't see on Entertainment Tonight, you won't find out in the news. He gave he typed out a little description of how the services went in California at Merle's wedding. They didn't take any pictures. Marty Stewart, I don't know if you know who Marty is.
Yeah. Marty Stewart.
Marty Stewart is one of the people at the funeral who gave, who told stories and led prayer and so on and so forth. Other singers were there. He said it was a great service. It was very interesting. And then after it was all over, they went to a diner somewhere. And I looked it up, and I forgot what city it's in. Like Merle's, his favorite little diner, they sat in his booth, and they all reminisced and so on and so on and so on. But the other interesting part of that story was, a few months back, Merle Haggard realized he needed to do a gig to pay his staff, his roadies and his crew and all of his musicians that were part of his group. So he had booked a concert to do it, and Keith, I just blanked on the name. Not Keith Urban. That's not even right.
Partridge.
No, damn it. I just completely blanked on the name.
I just was going with Marty Stewart.
So I just completely lost the name of the guy. God, why can't I think of his name?
I'm gonna look at
Oh my God, it's not even Keith. I don't think it's Keith.
Oh, now we got no clues.
Talk to me about what he's done.
Oh, I can't even think of it. I just lost it.
Merle Haggard.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. Why did I just...
Charlie Pride.
No. Keith Richards.
No. Toby Keith. That's it. Toby Keith.
Toby Keith was right here when it came up, Keith. And I'm like, is
so
that where he's
going? The concert, like in February, they walked in together. Toby Keith came to the concert with him, and Merle Haggard says to him, how many of my songs do you know? And he says, I know all of them. Merle's like, really? He goes, yep, I won't need a teleprompter. We'll be fine.
Oh, wow.
Merle was only able to get through like four songs.
Okay.
And he's like, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest with us tonight. And Toby Keith did the rest of the concert.
Oh, wow.
Everybody knew that Merle was in that bad of shape, but they didn't realize that they had just witnessed the last concert of Merle Haggard.
Oh.
Toby Keith finished all the songs. The money was, raised. He got to pay all of his staff, whatever. And then Merle Haggard passed away this past week. But if it's
interesting, I'm glad to hear a story where Toby Keith doesn't come off as a total dick.
Exactly. Because he really usually is. He's lovely in a number of ways, except for really far to the right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're not
Real
surprised at that.
To the right.
But the interesting.
I just wanted to make sure that FUTK was really about Toby Keith.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is, like I said to you at the top of the show, if you have an iTunes library or whatever you download with or whatever, just type in the name Merle Haggard, and if you don't want to listen to him, you will find it interesting to find out how many songs Merle Haggard contributed to or wrote, and a lot of other people sang. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Mama Di was on that with Toby.
And
oh, thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
Speaking of the FUTK thing, the Dixie Chicks, and I had kind of forgotten about Merle Haggard until Long Time Gone by the Dixie Chicks came on, and they sound tired, but they don't sound haggard.
Sure.
They got money, but they don't have cash. Like,
sure.
There's all these little tributes to classic country stars, and that was one of the things that made me go back and listen to him again, was that Long Time Gone song by the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
You always talk about, Al, we talk about music, and I like you. I don't do it as much as you. But I like to listen to songs. I like to find out what the meaning of whatever the phrasing,
words.
I like to find out what they mean, though it may sound innocuous, and it just may be a lovely little rhythm or whatever it sounds like, but you find out what it really means. There's a PBS special that's been running, and I think it's called Masters or Masters of Something. I forget what it is, but they did one on Loretta Lynn, and I happened to catch it partway through, and it was a gentleman who did one of her latest albums, and he said that it was amazing to sit with her and talk about the lyrics of the songs. And one of the things that she wrote was talking to someone, and the line goes, "The job you're working, we need money too." And it was about the fact that her father, somebody was cheating with a woman and negating the family, right? Mm-hmm. And she says that line, "The job you're working, we need money too." I'm calling her a whore.
Yeah.
Like in the thing, like Loretta Lynn is just figured out how to hide the word whore in the fucking line, and it just sounds lovely.
And if, I don't, somebody's got to Google it for me. If you watch it this weekend, SNL this weekend, who was that with Russell Crowe? Russell Crowe was the host.
Oh, about SNL. Yeah, I saw part of it.
SNL this week. Let me see if they say who the musical guest was. Margot Price is her name. And if you're a fan of Loretta Lynn or old fashioned, just beautiful country music with, you know, nice lyrics and beautiful, beautiful songwriting. She was amazeballs. Like, it was really, really nice music. And nice to see nice to see SNL embrace something a little. I mean, not that they don't pretty much travel the gamut, but if nothing else, if SNL's not your cup of tea, their musical choices are pretty top notch. But let me find out her name again so I can repeat it. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Did you say to repeat it?
No? Okay. Fair enough. And it's... Jesus Christ, where the hell did her name go? I just said it.
I was in the loop.
What does it even mean?
I was being Ramberger.
Okay, I'm sorry. But anyways... Margot Price. Anyways, Margot Price is the country singer that was the musical guest, and everyone in the reviews was saying very reminiscent of Loretta Lynn, and just a lovely voice and guitar player. Very simple. It was very good. It was
curious.
One more time, I was like, I just like SNL's music choices. Sure. You really get something a little bit different, and even if you don't like the person, like they have Kanye on quite a bit. At least it's interesting.
Yeah. Usually when it gets to that, if I don't like somebody, I kind of fast forward through it. I'm not going to lie.
But I'll just watch it to see what the fuck they do, because they always do something.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Unless I recognize them or might want to listen to them.
Yeah.
That's
how I found like Alabama Shakes. It's how I found Florence and the Machine. There's so many bands that I only know of.
Right.
Because they've been on SNL, and I'm like, now that I don't watch American Idol and don't work at a bar, the only way I find new music is...
Her influence is Emmylou Harris, Dolly Parton. She's been compared to Retta Lynn, Tammy Wynette. Her great uncle, Bobby Fischer, was a songwriter for George Jones, Conway Twitty, Charlie Pride, and Reba McEntire.
Yeah, I mean, just a really old-fashioned...
She learned from people. Good people.
And then they're asking to Bye Bye Miss American Pie is actually about Buddy Holly's death and two other people's deaths.
That was right. Yeah,
But it's not just about the plane crash. It's about three different deaths.
And wasn't it Patsy Cline?
I don't think it's Patsy Cline.
I thought it was all a men that were in it.
Yes, I think it's all men, but okay. I can't remember who the other two are. But so let's get through this. So True TV, the worst station on cable. And I say this about every time I watch Project Runway, which is my addiction, and judging by this shirt, you're wondering, what are you doing watching Project Runway? But I watch
getting
it every
ideas.
Week. And not using them. But I love Project Runway. But every time
Optimist.
Every time a commercial comes on for one of their other shows, I just want to claw my eyes out and rambungle myself, because I can't. It's everything on Lifetime is so fucking god-awful. But there's a worse station out there, and it's called True TV. And their claim to fame is this goddamn fucking piece of shit show called Impractical Jokers. I will not even go on about it, but it's the worst. But what I found out from The Wilk last night was they have this show in the middle of all this garbage called True Inside, which sounds dirty, but it's not. And what it does is it takes older movies
to me.
And it gets everybody that can possibly or wants to contribute to talk about the making of the film, like what they went through making it, what happened when it was released. It's very inside baseball, and it's really long. I feel like it was an hour long. It was an hour long. And last night they did Heathers. Doug was telling me that they did Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They're repeating the one on Airplane either tonight or tomorrow night. Every week on Monday nights they do it. So I have to find out if it's on demand.
And it's called True Inside?
True TV. But the show that I'm talking about is called True Inside. It's Monday nights at 10. And there's repeats on occasionally. But this thing on Heathers, one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And just how dark it was that Heather Graham, they had wanted her to play the main Heather, and her parents were like, no. Like, the guy that wrote this movie is Satan.
Oh.
And the writer's like, eh, she's not that far off. But they were like, absolutely not. You can't do this to your career. Oh. And how dark he wrote it, and how Winona Ryder, like, just gave it a lightness and made her likable. And, like, all of the things about making this, and that the company that made it, like, went bankrupt, like, in the middle of releasing the movie, so they couldn't even afford an ad the second week. But that, thanks to the joy of video, it became this cult classic, and like everyone can quote it, and like Mean Girls, like every movie apes it. But they said it killed John Hughes's career because teen movies died the day Heathers came out. And it was just so funny to hear them say it from every different angle. And everyone who came at it was like, these high gloss teen comedies just became a joke when you realize that they're Heathers. And and then they made the comparison to like everybody on Fox News being Heathers. Like, what happened to the Heathers when they grew up? They're like, well, they're all anchors. And they show all the anchors on Fox News.
And it's all those girls.
And it's all Heathers. Like, it's just so funny. Like, how many things date back to that movie? And the fact that it's 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guidance counselor is a senior citizen now. Like, as they were showing cast members,
crazy.
I'm like, I can't. But
sorry, they just asked me about
who I
was. So as far as Geosites, Aaron just asked if it's from a website from Geosites or GeoCities, excuse me.
What's that?
That I'm not sure. This I just looked up American Pie meaning and song, and it had the American Pie lyrics, and it's this www.whrc. So it's kind of a lot, but I don't know if that's what it is, Aaron. So I don't forgive me, because just putting something in the chat room was kind of fucking exciting for me. that's the first time I got real excited
and I can't remember. There's like one or two deaths about that, and I've seen all kinds of write-ups about it. I know the first one is Buddy Holly, and there's like two other things where they they talk about the day that who died, that the day the music died. But one of my favorite little bits of trivia about Don McLean is the song "Killing Me Softly" with his song is about Don McLean.
Oh,
the woman that wrote that song was standing in an audience watching Don McLean sing, and that's who was killing her softly.
Wow,
that's who that song is about.
The "Killing Me Softly" that Roberta Flack made famous is about Don McLean singing at a concert.
And I've got to find out who wrote that.
Wow, I did not know that.
I didn't either. That's really interesting.
I really feel like we've jumped the shark on the show, and we've learned something, and I think that's sad.
it says that the lyrics on this other site, understandingamericanpie.com, however, open to interpretation, the lyrics may have been, the song's emotional resonance was unmistakable. McLean was clearly relating a defining moment in the American experience. Something had been lost, and we knew it. Opening with the death of singer Buddy Holly and ending near the tragic concert at, I'm an idiot, Altamont Motor Speedway.
Right, which is where the Hells Angels and the Rolling Stones and everything. Yes, that's the third occurrence.
Okay. We are able to frame the span of years the song is covering from 59 to 70 as the 10 years we've been on our own. of the third verse. It is across this decade that the American cultural landscape changed radically, passing from the relative optimism and conformity of the 50s, which was his favorite musical period, and early 60s, into the rejection of these values by the various political and social movements of the late, mid and late 1960s.
And according to Lori Lieberman, the artist who performed the original recording of Killing Me Softly, the song was born of a poem she wrote after experiencing a strong reaction to the song Empty Chairs, written, composed, and recorded by Don McLean. She then related this information to Gimble, who took her feelings and put them into words. Then Gimble cast the words onto Fox and set them to music. So Gimble Fox, who were like one of the most famous songwriters of the 70s, they're the people that every song you know is a Gimble Fox song from the 70s. You just don't know it.
Okay.
That they passed that on. And Don McLean knew nothing about it. And when asked, he said, "I'm absolutely amazed. I've heard both Lori and Roberta's version. I must say, I'm very humbled that about the whole thing." Like,
wow, that's very cool. I never knew that.
Completely taken aback by this singer who did not have the famous version of it, but she was floored by him. And I have a friend who's just in love with him, and I'm like, I only know like two songs by him, and I certainly don't know that Empty Chair song.
Where else is she going?
So now we will go to, let me see where we are. So what do you want to do?
I didn't know the Tony Tennille thing that I shot to you earlier.
Oh, so Tony Tennille is all over because she wrote a book and she's talking about
she
Tony Tennille of the caption.
In Prescott, Arizona.
Where she's been hiding.
In Prescott.
For years and years and years.
Who knew?
But didn't you go see Victoria with me at Gamage and we met her afterwards?
Not me.
I swear to God, that was you. She did the tour of Victoria, and she
I've
was
never seen Victoria.
Phenomenal.
Other than the movie, and I don't remember all of that.
Oh, she did the tour, and she was gracious enough and met everybody afterwards and told the story that she lived in Prescott. So it was like this was her favorite part of the tour.
Didn't know.
Because she went home every night.
Oh.
She was very excited for this leg of the tour because she got to go home to her dogs.
Oh. I did not know anything raises, about that.
Like
I learned
some kind of raised bulldogs or some shit.
And always have. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
But turns out they lived together. They lived in sin, and the record company was very uncomfortable with promoting them, even though they were, you know, she was the
because of living in
sin. She was the unofficial. She's the only girl Beach Boy. She sang backup and played keyboards for many years with the Beach Boys.
Okay.
As part of that nonstop touring group and Daryl Dragon.
I didn't realize that either.
He was a Beach Boy for many years. That's how they met. They were part of the Beach Boys touring ensemble.
Ensemble.
And then they decided to go solo, and the record company announced they were married, and they were not. So they went to Vegas and got married. Reno.
Oh, Vegas.
Oh,
they
got
They went to a bar, found the judge. The judge said, "Meet me here." They got married.
They got quickie marriage to make it true.
And then they went to a place where you could dress up in old, according to her, old-timey clothes and took a picture where he's got a gun and she's in an old dress. Yeah. And that's the only picture of their wedding day.
And just said that they were never really very, if they were, they were friendly.
They didn't
but
seem
not,
affectionate
But not
at
very
all.
Affectionate. And so it wasn't a sham marriage. Like, she made it sound like they had a lot of sex but not a lot of intimacy. And then eventually she just divorced him.
So
all those stories that
39
years later, she was like, "I don't really like you."
And one of the things she said in the interview is, "We were told that taxes would be much better if we were married." She said that in the interview.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, another.
Yeah,
another,
and that was one of the things that someone said, "Well, you probably should. You'll do better on taxes." But I like that they left California to get married. Because
smart,
yeah.
Because
to
of
get
the,
out of a, of the, I was to say Commonwealth, but what's that? Common law or no?
Right, it's 50-50.
Common property. What's that
right.
called?
The,
something property.
Yeah, fucked up.
Okay, so we'll just
giving you half my shit.
Thank you, Marnie.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
fucked up.
Well, I'm not gonna give you half my shit. That's not okay.
Right.
So the OJ finale was last.
It was
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Probably one of the best things I have ever seen on TV.
I thought it was done really well.
I was unprepared for the brilliance of all their performances. Like, just combined.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah, David Schwimmer.
Is just the one that jaw-dropping and obviously...
Sarah Paulson.
Because I was going to say Marcia Clark.
Right.
Because she was
But it turns out that wasn't her. But I believed it. Like, I was
really?
Like, isn't that fun? And Marcia Clark said she could not miss she could not miss the last episode.
Oh, I didn't see
She
that
has been watching all along and occasionally tweeting.
Did she not know how it turned out?
No.
She forgot.
No, she was probably praying to God.
She said that the episode with the haircut was... Yeah. As painful to watch as it was to go through. And Sarah Paulson said she cried the whole day on the set because of, like, how they all had to react to her and, like, how vulnerable she felt.
Oh.
And Marcia Clark said it was worse watching it back than it was experiencing it. Like,
wow.
She said that was the worst day of her life.
Do you remember? I mean, they showed it again, but I don't know how into it either of you were. I watched the entire
thing. I haven't watched any of it.
No, the trial.
The trial itself.
Back in the 90s.
And it wasn't just what I saw when it came on the news. Like, I was watching Court TV.
Yeah.
I could not get enough of it. And so I remember seeing that whole thing. And when she went and got her look and got the new perm, right?
That's just awful. But
She walked in and I remember going, oh, God, oh, that can't be good.
No.
And by the way, let me just, you know.
And for racial reasons, too, it played wrong. Right, like, it played wrong so many different levels.
I never thought of it like that, but I can see it now.
And they don't say any of it. It's just the look on Sarah Paulson's face as she walks into the courtroom. And I forgot that Judge Ito said to her, Marcia Clark, I guess.
I guess, right.
Oh.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I'm mocking somebody who had a perm, and I was getting perms. So I'm trying to be fair. I'm just saying. I'm trying to be fair. But then when she then got the other hairdo, the one that when Sarah Paulson walked in, and it was, you know, I remember that distinctly, thinking, what a fucking shame.
But the fact for those of you listening for outside the country, this just changed 1994 to 1996. Like, America came to a standstill that what a prosecutor's hair looked like became
an issue.
Dinner conversation.
But it was such a shame from a perspective
of women. That's what they got reduced to.
Nobody was paying attention to anybody else.
Yeah, that she just...
that it was so remarked about her look. And she has a beauty mark, or a mole if you will. But that was totally paid attention to. And the hair and the dress, but not...
And her, like, I've never... Like, no one's ever paid attention to me before. And when she has that scene of, like... No one has ever cared what I look like. No one. Mm-hmm. She's like, I've been married twice and no one cares what I look like. And it was like just the defeat in her face of like, I'm trying someone for the murder of two innocent people. Why am I worried about my clothes?
Right.
And you're just so sucked into that show. And again, I told you, it's so meta. Like, you're so inside inside the TV that you don't know what you can't. You just can't pull away from reality, and they look so much like them.
And even with what's-his-face, Cuba Gooding Jr., who I didn't think was...
But Barbara and I talked about this last week. It's because he's being a bad actor, because O.J. was a bad actor. So he's got to act a certain way because...
Yeah, but Courtney B. Vance... looked like Johnny Cochran.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean...
But nobody looks like O.J.
You must have...
Everybody else is a passing... You have a passing look.
And David Schwimmer?
But O.J. Simpson is kind of part of our national... He's part of what we grew up with. He was on our commercials. He was in our movies. He was on...
I feel like there could have been someone else who could have acted poorly. That
looked more like him.
And looked more like him to resonate a little bit more. Truly, like, just hands down, I thought David Schwimmer was amazing
And because he's the heart and soul of that show. Watching him fall apart as he learns everything
and
is
it's David Schwimmer. And every other thing that I've watched, that's a lie. Most other things that I watched with anyone in the cast of Friends, I look up and I'm like, oh, Phoebe Buffay. Or, you know, I see someone and think, you know, watching Matthew...
Perry,
thank you, because I want to say Chandler, in The Odd Couple. I enjoy him very much, but he's very much Chandler, right? So all of those kind of things, but watching David Schwimmer, who was never my favorite as Ross, and seeing him come on, and it's, anybody can put like a in their hair to have that look, but I was like, Jesus Christ, he's Robert Kardashian.
Yeah, and I thought John Travolta was just...
He was fantastic. He was also awful. Like, I couldn't hardly look at him, which was the point.
The point, yeah, because Robert Shapiro was her, and he's still alive. He's still hard to look at.
Well, and Kris Kardashian, one of my favorite actresses.
Oh, Blair. Selma Blair?
Selma Blair, right. I love her. And I thought she really did a remarkable job too.
But I you watch it because you saw. I don't think I've ever experienced TV at this level where they're doing something that I knew every minute of, but they've turned the cameras around and just shown you a different angle. And that press conference, even though I watched that press conference, I sat in my living room and was openly sobbing at the press conference, and I'm like, these fuckers got me. Like, Ryan Murphy is just on his.
Do you know the gentleman who played? Fred Goldman, I thought looked remarkably like Fred
they
Goldman.
All did. And at the very last shot of the TV show was not the very last shot, but as they went through, they showed you the real person with the actor that portrayed them. It was a little bit to give people that maybe don't know it as well as some people do an idea of a reference of what they really look like, and then it gave you the update of what happened to them, where their career went, where their life went, and then the final moment was Ron and Nicole, and you had that shot of but this is who this story is really about. Right. There were two people brutally murdered.
Right.
That turned the nation on end. But and you think that the movie's going to end with a verdict, but no, there's actually
more.
So much more after it, and the things that you learn about OJ's coming home party and the sad little cake, and I was like, oh my god, there was so much of it. You're like, god, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah. Yeah,
creepy, but
and
so well
the
done.
The behind the scenes, if you will, of him, and just that fucking arrogance.
Yeah,
I mean, keep in mind, I'm one of very people argue with me all the time. Was he guilty? Was he not? If you're asking a question on law, no, he wasn't. They did not prove it.
Yeah.
So when I say OJ was not guilty, people would get pissed. And, oh my god, people fucking went crazy. When I was like. When the answer, when the verdict came back, I was like, yes. Because I was in school at the time and studying pre-law stuff. So I'm looking at it like, you did not prove that shit.
Yeah, they got a lot of you stuff thrown out.
But, oh my God, people, I was in that kind of where people attacked you for looking at that. Now, you want to say, is he innocent? No.
No.
Nobody's He's saying there's for an their innocence death. Here. But as far as the verdict and... People couldn't get past the idea of the law and what you have to come back with as a jury. I don't think I could have sat on that jury.
No, and my thing was are we under the impression this is the first rich person that's ever gotten away with crime? Have you seen the show on HBO about the guy that murdered the guy? I can't think of it. I can't think of it. But anyways, the show on HBO about the serial killer that killed his wife and then killed a neighbor and chopped him up and admitted I chopped him up, but it was by accident. But he got away with it because he got all his money. Kirkman, Robert, something like that. Anyways, Bates Motel, I got home last night. I was all excited for the season finale.
Durst.
Robert Durst.
Yeah.
Bates Motel on AMC, really getting it done. What's Her Butt and the kid, both of them. Just fantastic. Turns out last night was not the finale. I got my popcorn. I had my wine and cheese already, and to be continued. I was like, you motherfuckers. But a lot of fun leading up to how we get to Psycho. Just him slowly turning into her. The psychiatrist knows that now he has dissociative personality disorder or whatever, identity disorder, where he separates and sometimes he's the mother and sometimes he's him. And just crazy fucking shit. But the psychiatrist is also gay, and so the boy, as the mom, is flirting with him, and it's just gotten all kinds of fucking twisted. Really good. Bates Motel and AMC, and you don't A&E, and you don't have to hate yourself because the commercials are not that bad. But I think Duck Dynasty's on that fucking show. On that show, no, that's AMC. American Movie Classics. Is where you get The Walking Dead and the Duck Dynasty fuckers. CNN, not CNN, HBO, the home of all great things. Nothing Left Unsaid, the documentary about Gloria Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Anderson
it yet.
Cooper.
We have it DVR'd.
Is phenomenal television. Good. And seriously, two people that need psychotherapy in the worst way.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. These are two people so unplugged from their emotions that she can't cry because of surgical interventions. He can't cry because
his shirts are too tight.
He's fucked up. No, this is a.
He had I haven't seen the documentary, but seeing him on the different shows, Anderson Cooper, seeing him on the different shows plugging this and the book The Other Side of the Rainbow, or what is it called?
Oh, it's called Nothing Left Unsaid.
Nothing Left Unsaid. That's the.
Yeah, I think I
what
believe
was the rainbow.
Oh, maybe the book's called something different, but the documentary I think is called Nothing Left Unsaid.
It's something about the other side of the rainbow or something is the book, and they have he is talking about it, and he seems remarkably put together. Like very,
but he should not very, be. No, that's the problem,
right? Because now, what is the one thing I found out from him, and he talked about it very
It's way too
calm. Was about the fact that his brother. I knew his brother committed suicide
in front of her,
but I did not know that his brother committed suicide in front of the mom.
Oh, and she tells the story, and she on camera.
Did he shoot himself? Did he
jumped off a ledge?
Jumped out a window. Wow.
Jumped out a window, and they say that like she still claims that it was a side effect of his asthma medication that made him loopy. That and
how old was he?
23, 22, and even his girlfriend is like he was never right with that shit. But wow. I mean, and she tells the story to Anderson sitting across from her, and I don't know what kind of like camera angle they're using, but I'm like, both of you need therapists. And she's fucked up from the head. She's a little Gloria Happy at last, if you remember the TV movie about her life, like raised by a nurse, parents went on vacation the second she was born, custody battles between her aunt and her mom that her aunt won. She blew off the aunt and went off to Hollywood to live with a different aunt. Married at 17, blew off the aunt that is the Whitney, you know, the Whitney Museum. That's her aunt.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, when you really, this is the Vanderbilts we're talking about. This isn't like the Perkins family. This is the fucking Vanderbilt. This is Commodore Vanderbilt we're talking about.
They said that she was the original Poor Little Rich Girl.
No, that's Barbara Hutton.
No, that's what they were saying, that she's one of.
It's really, the Poor Little Rich Girl is Barbara, I think it's Barbara Hutton is her name, but she's Little Gloria Happy at last. That Jinx was, oh my God, and well, look at that, and Aaron knows somebody that jumped off a roof from a decongestant things, and there is something odd about it, but the way that they react to it, it's first off, it's heartbreaking, because she can't express, and she says, I cried for 3 weeks and I've never cried since. And then she tells the story and you're like, oh, you need to get help for that. That's not normal.
But she won't. And she is all...
Well, she's 92 or 93. Put together or not put together, she's 93. You can, at 93, look however you want to look. Because she's walking up and down stairs. She paints every day. But the fact that she blew off there's so many like heartbreaking points to that where anyone else would just like collapse in grief. But the fact that, like, the Whitney Museum was her aunt, and she blew her off and, like, kind of disassociated herself with her. And here's this woman with this love of painting. Like, clearly her love of painting and art is part of her family heritage, and she just blew it off. And Anderson's like, what a waste that these two did not bond. This one started at the Whitney Museum, and this one paints every fucking day. Like, what are we doing wrong? But, it was... It is really, 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 really good TV. That is just well made. And Dion, our friend Dion, who sometimes plays with us here on the show, he had some weird criticisms of the show, saying that they kind of blew off Anderson coming out, not part of Gloria Vanderbilt's story at all. Like, she loves her son. He is who he is. And clearly his coming out meant nothing, like, is just like, okay, you're gay, whatever. And it clearly was not a thing that either one of them were worried about. So there was no reason to put his coming out into her story of her life. Like, he's a part of it because he's her son, but it's not his story. So I didn't understand criticizing the documentary for not having Anderson Cooper's coming out story as part of it. Like, that's kind of like peeing on your mom's documentary.
Sure.
And then the other thing was they say that they blow off the son that she hasn't talked to in 38 years. They show his picture. They talk his brother. His brother's name is Stan. His name is Chris. They're the first two kids from her second marriage. They talk about him and show lots of pictures of him. And then when they completely address her relationship with this kid, and they ask her, like, when was the last time you spoke to your son? And she says, when he was 22. And Anderson says, well, how old would he be now? Because Anderson's met him a couple times. He's like, probably late 50s. And she's never seen him again.
Oh.
Or heard from him.
And, like, she just goes stone-faced.
Wow.
As, like, here's a
but
son
that
she...
But is that what she was taught? Like,
No, because this, I mean...
There no,
was,
no, no, I mean,
no, yes, because,
up,
because like, again, no parents.
Right,
shuffled
right.
off, custody battles, sure. always somewhere else, always cutting people off, or, like, she wanted to be... it's just, it's a fascinating documentary. And when she talks about... The, and Dion was so critical that they didn't bring up this kid. I'm like, it was one of the most tortured parts of the movie. I'm like, what were you watching that you didn't catch... Her address, I'm like, he must have had a bathroom break. I did not understand his reaction to that movie. The 80s on CNN, riveting television. For those of us of a certain age, that shit is... Have you watched it yet?
No, but it's recording.
Yeah.
For real.
What did you think about the Reagan stuff? I was really curious about your thoughts on that.
Again, it's like that meta. It's too inside baseball. Like I lived it, and I can't like watching it again. Like right. the '70s, there was stuff like, oh, I didn't realize that was going on. I knew every minute of the '80s that was going on. Like there was no surprises there. Like
the anger comes back, and all of the feelings.
All the feelings. I'm feeling all the feelings.
I'm feeling all the feels.
I honestly was shocked at my reaction to a lot of it. Like the hatred that just came up. Sure. Same with the Bush. The presidential stuff on CNN.
Yes.
The race for the White House. Oh, my God. Is that a fantastic series. But the Bush-Dukakis one, with the racism in that and everything, that's just riveting television. I think I've watched that one probably 3 times now. And I cannot get enough of watching that. Everyone's reaction to, like... That like that the start of Karl Rove and that Bush the first is just as shitty as Bush the second. Like Jeff. But anyway.
Jeff.
So the Anita Hill movie, HBO again, cannot say enough good things. The Anita Hill movie is this Saturday.
Tell me what it is. What's it called?
It is a story
Anita Hill?
Called Hair on a Can.
Yeah.
Hair on a Coke.
But here is another weird story that we all know, but this one I'm kind of like, oh, I don't remember all the details. And like, who would be the bad guy in this? Because the head of the Senate committee to approve judges was Uncle Joe. So Greg Kinnear is playing Joe Biden.
Okay.
So was this a because he's a very conservative black judge nominated by Bush the first. So
also is a dickbag. The end.
No, right.
Clarence Thomas.
But who's the who's the conspirators in this?
Okay.
If you believe the conspiracy theories, is it the Democrats trying to railroad Clarence Thomas out of the court because they don't want him? Is it someone trying to railroad a black man out of being the first, not the first, the second, because Thurgood Marshall's the first black Supreme. So
who was the one who, was it Joe that was, no pun intended, hammering Anita Hill? About
that's why I can't wait to see it. I honestly, the details elude me.
That part I don't remember. And if it is, does that change my opinion? Because I'm going to say the douchebag is whoever was going after her. Do you remember anything about?
It's not a lot. I wasn't following all that stuff back when. I remember it. I remember the Coke can. There was a pubic hair on it. Blah blah blah. I remember bits of that, but I wasn't paying a lot of attention to that at the time.
I just remember that there was this female who was sitting there who was just a very. And keep in mind, I'm not taking Anita Hill. I'm not taking her to task, but I'm not, you know, saying that she had nothing to do with this, you know. And forgive me because. That part, I don't remember all of those details.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what those details are, should someone have been sitting there, anyone, I don't care if it's Uncle Joe or who it is, kind of really taking her to task about what was happening. So that's the part, like, I don't remember, I don't want to blame a victim, I don't want to, you know, say we all have a part in something. Because it was all about sexual harassment.
And it was the introduction to all of us with sexual harassment. As far as in my life, that was the first I'd ever heard of that as being like...
And many people
that's bad.
Many people coming in. I kind of liked it when he did. But many people saying it's not harassment. Remember?
Yeah.
You had to say harassment at some point.
Oh, yeah, we all had to change how we said that to harassment. Yeah.
What I say? Harassment. Like, stop it. I'm not going to say harassment. Like, but that kind of thing.
It
really became an issue.
That is one of those things that I'm curious to see this one. And the thing that I remember the trial, and I remember, like,
But her having to sit there as a very smart individual, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. But to interject like we do, for her to have to sit there, this just very brilliant woman.
Yeah, and be harassed even more.
Harassed, as it were, even more. And on camera and in front of the world.
Yeah.
Fuck that. That's the part that I really would. Who, it doesn't matter who did what or what happened where. The fact that she had to sit there like that,
I'm really curious to watch this because it's Greg Kinnear, it's Kerry Washington, is Anita Hill. I cannot remember the actor's name that's playing Clarence Thomas. But I really, as I'm watching the commercials, and they've been playing it to death over the last couple of weeks, but I'm just like, if this was not a true story, if he did not harass her, who are the conspirators behind it? Like, is it progressives not wanting a conservative on the court? Is it he's not the first black Supreme Court justice, so that's not the fight we're fighting, I don't think. I don't know, and I'm so curious to see like what politics they bring to the table because of how well they did Game Change about Sarah Palin and the election crisis in 2000. Like, all these TV movies that they've done on these topics, I'm like just riveted to this because I don't remember, but Designing Women came back, and I remember it being like that whole summer. Mm-hmm. And I want to say the summer of 91. I don't think it was the summer of 92. But it was that summer of 91 where only story in Designing Women, the first episode of the season, and Julia Sugarbaker had support her or something, and then, what's her name that used to be on Newhart? The one that was on Newhart that took over for... what the hell was her name? She was the rich cousin, the blonde...
Julia Duffy.
Duffy.
Yeah,
Julia Duffy had lied, right. And they had the T-shirt, and they had that whole episode about the trial. And I'm like, okay, this show is just balls to the wall now. Like, they're not even pretending they're not political.
The movie is going to be called Confirmation.
Confirmation. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it says, and Anita Hill, interestingly enough, says it's important for us to relive the Clarence Thomas hearings.
Oh, I believe that completely. So, like Marcia Clark, she's going to live tweet through it. But so it's on this Saturday, and I like the commercials just make me like drink my coffee and write things down. I'm like, I just all the feelings. Like, I want to know. Because I really don't like. I want the backstory, but now that I've watched OJ, I'm like, all right, show me something else. And I've heard two different things that the next season of the American Crime Story is going to be either the Menendez brothers, Hurricane Katrina. I'm fascinated by
either
both.
Way.
Either way, I'm good.
I would say Katrina. I'm way more in for.
Yeah,
because Lyle's hair, but
I was strangely attracted oddly, to both of those
that's
fuckers.
Really a shame. It says she says in this, I'm at peace with my place in history, but then added. She does not have to be at peace with Thomas being on the Supreme Court.
No, she doesn't.
So, you know, she's like, you know, whatever. And she looks fantastic.
I looked at her.
Oh, she looks really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, but that is fantastic.
Yeah. So I think my last... Well, I'll just brush through these, I think. Unbreakable starts this Friday on Netflix.
That's right.
Don't miss it.
The 15th?
Yeah, whatever Friday is. The 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 16th is HBO.
Because Aaron and I will be celebrating 5 years on Saturday.
Oh, congratulations. So, yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And then quick move.
Oh, Challenger Disaster. I'm with Aaron on that one.
Oh, that'd be interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quick movie reviews. My Name is Doris. Sally Field. Mm-hmm. Do not miss it. Delight.
I want to take mom to see that.
And you will enjoy it.
I was thinking my mom to see
very,
it, too.
Very, very, very enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. Light movie. Very nicely made.
Good.
And Sally Field.
When you think
she's going to fall into Sally Field tricks,
she has
learned to get out of the Sally Field tricks.
Good.
There's a couple scenes where you're like, all right, I've seen this in Steel Magnolias. Do something else. Even though I enjoy when Sally Field does Sally Field.
Yeah.
I was trying to hurt somebody. You know what I mean? When she does her little temper tantrums. But she nuances it up.
It does look like a brown book.
It's so good. Eye in the Sky. With Helen Mirren, and it's Alan Rickman's last role. A little bit about drones and collateral damage and the children that can, like when they do a drone strike and they do a kill site, the collateral damage. Very, very intense, way more talky than it sounded. I was expecting more of a war movie, and this is a very chatty, like everyone talking about
if we drop this little bomb that's supposed to be so neat and tidy, like, what's the kill zone? Really well done, but Alan Rickman's last role, and he's very good in it. Helen Mirren in a role that was written for a man, and for those of us that watch Sleepy Hollow, the fact that she says Lieutenant, just like...
Lieutenant.
Which is exactly how What's-His-Face pronounces it on Sleepy Hollow that makes him so sexy, because I guess it's the British way to say Lieutenant.
Okay.
Is that it should be pronounced Lieutenant, and it's okay. So very cute. Everybody Wants Some is Richard Linklater's new movie. He did Boyhood, he did... Dazed and Confused, where we get, the only reason we have Matthew McConaughey in our lives is because of Dazed and Confused. This is his follow-up many years later. Gentlemen of the room, this is gay porn at its best. This is 70s fucking hotness in little shorts, baseball players.
Dazed and Confused?
No. Everybody Wants Some.
Oh, I'm like, I don't
know. This is cute. College age baseball players all running around in tiny shorts talking to each other and doing dirty things and talking about sex. And I was like, this is kind of a porno movie. And there was one character in there that really rambungled me. I can't even lie to you. But it was really cute. And it's set in 1980 and they don't fuck it up. It's like they listen to some oldies, like they listen to music from 1979, but everything stops at 1980. So you get the urban cowboy influence, you get the start of punk, and the fact that they don't know what kind of music to listen to, they're very confused because like they start off at a disco, then they go to a country western bar, then they go to like a punk band, and it's just that place where all the music was combining and it was all on one station, but they have an outfit for everything, and it's very, very cute. But the soundtrack is spectacular. Like, it's just one of the best soundtracks. And so, because I was waiting for them to cheat and throw in like, 1982. Because everybody was like, oh, it's so 80s. It's so 80s. I'm like, well, the song they keep playing is My Sharona from The Knack. That's 1979. That's not 1980. But it's played as an oldie. You know what I mean? Like, so they're very good about, they bring back some old stuff. Oh, my God. Baby, we can do it. Take the time. Do it right. That was so good. So good. And then Midnight Special by the guy that gave us Take Shelter and... Mud. We've talked about Mud again, Matthew McConaughey and his big comeback. But Midnight Special, very cool. If you enjoyed Take Shelter, if you like Michael Shannon, this is a really good little sci-fi movie that I think is going to stick around for the rest of the year. I think everyone's going to be talking about this movie for a long time. It's really, really, really good.
Nice.
Okay. It's called Midnight Special. Lightly sci-fi. Mostly just an intriguing chase movie about a father trying to save his son from a cult, and it just rocked my socks off. I just loved it.
All right.
And it's got Kirsten Dunst, who's having just a great career resurgence. Yeah. So yeah, that's it for entertainment. Turns out I had a lot ready.
The only thing I want to throw out for entertainment, and it is something, you know how Ernie is big time into the and
the
Bachelor. Mr. Buddy Early as well for the Real Housewives of this.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
the different kind of crap TV, as I love to say. Well, there is something that I have found that I jugular kind of popping out of my neck, fucking laughing my ass off because I can't handle the Real Housewives of anywhere.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But there is a show on Bravo, which when you talk about the only things that are okay, this is the only thing okay with this show or this network, and it's called The People's Couch. It damn near pee my pants, hysterical, and what it is. It's people that are on the couch watching these programs and reacting to them.
Oh, that's fun.
And it is just, I found it when I was in Minnesota, and I am in love with a couple of the different people. There are three gay guys that are on there. One of them used to be an actor, and they're just like, stop it, girl. And they are the three of them sitting on this couch watching things. Fucking hysterical.
It's like Mystery Science.
It really is.
Mystery Science Theater.
Hysterical. And then these three older ladies that are sitting there like, well, I don't know about that.
Not how any of this works.
I don't think so. Jenny has seen it. It really is fucking hysterical.
I'll look for that.
And this mom and, if I have the whole thing down, it looks like this mom and dad and son just... And the son is sitting there like, is this really happening? And they are watching. And so, by the way, OJ, they're watching OJ. They're watching Grey's Anatomy. They're commenting on all kinds of things.
So it's Mystery Science Theater. Yes. With that, okay, that's a fun
idea. God, it's funny. And I want to make some money off of a camera then being on us, watching the people.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Let's just keep going with this, just, right?
The more meta, the better. And it's so funny because I, like, a few years ago, I remember like having to figure out, like, what does meta mean? And now we're like, I feel like I'm in it. Like, I feel like it's like, there's so much reality TV that's even soaked into my, like, something I don't even watch is soaked into my life. Sure, that sure. I'm watching something, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm in this. This is a bottle episode.
Exactly, exactly. So I just want to throw that out there because, goddamn, if it isn't one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's just my new favorite. It's an hour, and it's just my new favorite kind of hour of just sitting back going, thank you for voicing that.
Yeah.
The funniest part for me was that I was sitting on the couch with my friend Amy Bomberg when I was back home, and the two of us are sitting there, and there's a chicky chick, and then there's kind of a bull dyke. And I'm like, would you look at that fucking bull dyke? And we're going on and on, and all of a sudden, it's 2 seconds into it, and I go, oh.
We're them.
Yeah. And I looked up and I was kind of like, oh, that's me.
We're the people watching the show.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's where that came up. So, and I now believe,
how far down through the looking glass can we go?
I know,
that's
like,
fun.
I'm right here. And so that now is me and that's Seidel and I sitting on the couch, you know, just watching. It's fucking hysterical. So digress. I will step off the Bravo soapbox.
Oh, no. But see, there every network has one show that you watch. But when you see the commercials for their show, you're like, oh, dear God. And for some reasons, Patient's Family watch that True TV. I don't know if it's like a 3 or it's some number that you can get to easily at the hospital.
TV.
And that's where that Inside TV, that Inside True Inside is, that movie show is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All they have is this show where these three obnoxious fuckers play pranks on each other. And the pranks aren't funny, and the show isn't funny, and they're just obnoxious.
And it's too
but they play the show, like, seriously, I just went through the schedule to find out when the show was really on that I like, and it's between 9 episodes of this other dumbass show. And patients will have it on, and I'm like, I gotta turn this, it's gotta be upsetting to someone. It's gotta, like, this can't be religiously appropriate.
Right. Well, if nothing else, I am. Jenny, have a great night.
Good night.
And if you watch that, The People's Couch, let me know your thoughts on it, because that fucking shit is funny. Funny. Anyway, digress.
All right.
Clayton, you'd actually even like that one. It's very funny.
Just because I like Mystery Science Theater so much that I'm right on board with people watching something and
commenting on it every Friday night.
I experienced people watching that other show wanting to do Drag Race on Mondays. Like, they're all screaming at the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another one that they have on there, RuPaul's Drag Show.
When somebody pulls shade and says something else, you're like, oh, she did not just say that. They were doing a slam fest.
It.
Do you know what a flipper is in regards to teeth?
I do not.
Oh, God.
A flipper is somebody who has bad teeth and who is in show business. They get a fake piece that goes over teeth.
So that why don't they just get their teeth fixed?
Well, and if you can't afford it, because showbiz doesn't always pay, they get a flipper that makes them look like they're fine. Well, a lot of, in the drag community, a lot of them do use that because, A, they ain't got no money. They ain't got no insurance.
They ain't got no money.
But what they do,
how he said that,
but what they do is they'll have a character. Actually, we all know somebody who did just used to use a flipper all the time, and is a very well-known performer. Did a great job. Went through a whole teeth fixing thing. Anyway, one of the slams in the show the other night was somebody made a comment about your drag is old school, and you go for Regal, and you go for da 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 da. Well, I have a little show that you need to watch from the old school, and it's called Flipper. And they just boom, they're like, oh, she just dropped a bad tooth line on her.
That's awesome.
So that was where that came from.
Oh, shit. Maybe I'll spend my Mondays doing that. My Fridays watching The People's Couch.
Very busy. Things like to do. All right.
Oh, and Amina says meta is data related to other data. I didn't know. I just meant, like, that you realize the universe you're in. Like, to me, it's like when... Oh, what's a good example? Like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Like, when did they start realizing that they were a hit? You know, when Queer Eye for you film something for weeks and weeks and weeks before it airs,
right.
And then it airs, and then how do you change your persona on the show because you know how you're being
portrayed,
perceived by the real world? All right, so I think I have a brilliant question for Thoughtful Folk.
Well, let's start it. It goes like this.
And now. Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. we will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
It's so obnoxious. All right, so as we start with North Carolina, we'll swing back to North Carolina. So, Bruce Springsteen and Man Who Never Bathes, Bryan Adams, are boycotting North Carolina.
He
currently
literally could be related to Angie Dickinson, as far as I'm concerned.
I know. Because I always am like, oh, she's so judgmental, like, that I realize, oh, I think that about Bryan Adams.
Are you talking We're in Heaven, Bryan Adams?
Yes.
I
just want to take him outside and, like, hose him down.
He doesn't bathe. Angie Dickinson doesn't bathe, and Jodie Foster doesn't bathe.
Yeah, Angie Dickinson, I get where people think she's kind of a hot mess, but
what about Jodie Foster?
She always looks well kept.
Bullshit. Matthew McConaughey really doesn't bathe.
I don't like him either.
I've heard Tim.
In fact, I don't like Lincoln Cars now based on him.
I don't like him. I would say I want my Oscar back. Like, I was going to win it. I want my Oscar back because I hate those Lincoln commercials so much. Right. Even the one where he talks to the dogs.
I know.
I just like him. So, boycotting, not yes. Matthew McConaughey, but Bruce Springsteen, yeah. Stephen Schwartz, Bryan Adams, boycotting North Carolina, yeah. saying no. not very feeling very inclusive. Cyndi Lauper, on the other hand, is saying they need me the most now. I need to go to North Carolina for those that don't feel included or feel put down. Thoughts?
I really think that's interesting. I hadn't heard that, and I appreciate that side of things because yeah. I really, I enjoy when people come out that you aren't necessarily expecting to, and saying, hey, we're not going to do that. We're not going there. We're not going to support these people. We're not going to bring money into your state. But yet Lauper saying, but this is when they need, so the actual people that are being shunned
yeah.
and the actual people that these laws are being written to diminish, basically. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and one of the great advocates for gay rights of our time.
Ever, like, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I guess I wouldn't have thought about it that way.
Yeah.
At all. I looked at, you know, screw it, they keep the money out of the state, and I support it because I had read through that stuff and thought, good,
yeah.
good. But I really like that take. Because the minute that you say the hell with North Carolina, you're saying the hell with all of the people of North Carolina.
Right, you're kind of painting them with one brush.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how many, especially us as older folk that could say...
Well, you are much older.
I don't mean to be rude, but one second.
but I have the pot on the phone.
Technically, right. Do you name Kettle? I'm technically the...
She's got one word for you.
My favorite is that I'm the youngest here yeah. right now. The end. Thank you. Because Kat's not here, otherwise I'd be really...
Oh, I was going to say, do I get older in one of these stories? I forgot someone would get... There would be someone yeah, younger.
Younger, yeah. still. But
remember,
but
I thought
really,
Toblerone was sausage. So.
No, that's true.
Spider went down the water spout. Okay.
I bamboozled that. I don't even know what the word is anymore. I can't remember. Bamboozled?
Rum-chata.
Rum-chata.
Ram-burglar.
The best part is whenever I hear rum-chata, to this day,
I think of the Amish.
Amish. I think that's what the Amish do when they go on their little leave of absence. When they do their PTO for being Amish.
They get their rum-chata?
Money. Nope, that's room springer.
But I have never
Remember when
once,
I said it, room ch- I brought my
and you
rum-chata?
Know that as soon as my Every eyes time. Ring up like triple cherries. Like, I just get so excited by the word rum-chata because I think it's what the Amish do where they go out and smoke a chicken fool around their noogie bound.
It really makes me laugh because isn't that what the Amish do? No.
It's never changed.
Nope.
However, I'm not going
to...
Toblerone or whatever you pronounce it is still sausage at the airport.
But I'm not going to be surprised if the Amish don't get a little rum-chata when they get out there. You know what I'm saying?
They're rum-bagging the shit out of
what
that.
What is this?
I don't know what rum-chata is. The best part is I have to find something Amish to blame it on because I don't know what rum chata is.
It's my drink. My rum chata, horchata, rum, and horchata.
But that word delights me. It delights me
as well.
Because I want to chase a buggy down the street with a caution sign on the back of it.
How do you support, it, unless you are coming out
and
being that, that out there with what you're saying, like, hey, I'm here for the LGBTQMAP.
And you know, halfway through the 19th rendition of True Colors, she's got everybody on board.
and even the governor's all like,
give me the flashlight. I'm in.
Colors. Yeah. He's all, I'm gay now.
Yeah, oh yeah. Cyndi Lauper said it, and it is so. And she's one of those people that, like, even if the microaggressive people that are so, like, get pissed off at everything, if Cyndi Lauper, she could seriously go up and, like, slap the Pope, and I'd be like, all right, we're going to give her this one, because it's Cyndi Lauper.
Well, there's a reason. Yeah, there has to be a reason.
Right, but you know what I mean? Like, there's these microaggressions. You know what, because
she drove all night to get there.
Yeah, exactly, she did. She was very concerned. To
you. Which, by the way, is the best rendition of that song.
It's hands down. It's just tits. Tits up and hands down.
For those of you, good lesbian experience.
For those of you who have not any idea what rum chata is, this would it's the rum chata is the white bottle.
Yeah, but leave that fireball shit away from it.
Okay,
but if
leave
you add
the fireball away,
it's a little bit of heaven.
But I just like all the things that I don't know what they are, and I give them their own meanings.
Oh, rum chata is so good.
Look at you in widescreen panorama. All right, so what are your thoughts on the Cyndi?
Oh, I selected the wrong shot. Anyway, we'll do this one. I see both sides of it. I think one of the things that I like is, obviously, I get what she's saying. Yep. But I also like, I did feel a little bad when Springsteen canceled his concert. Mm-hmm. Though, again, I respect him doing it. But one of the problems was, and other people were posting online, would have been nice to have known a few days earlier, because hotels aren't refundable, you know, flights aren't refundable. People that were making planned trips and plans to go see these things, that's not refundable. So it shafts the people who, again, we don't know if they were on board or off board of this, of the law. But the bigger thing is, I like that all of the corporations who were either going to set up shop there or were in, you know, in talks of doing it or whatever it is, they're the ones who just, like, out. And, like, the production company, all of them are like, nope, we're done. If you're going to play it this way. But I do get what she's saying. Obviously, the people that are there who are the ones who are being slammed, if you will, with this law, the ones who are being discriminated against because of the law, obviously, they need support. They need people to rally that cause.
And say that you're still a human.
You're still here. We're still with you. Let's gather together, grassroots this, fight together, whatever.
This group of fuckers made you second-class citizens, but I'm still here to entertain you and your supporters.
Right.
And those arguments for, like, the KTRZ. What's that station I hate?
KTAR.
But that's one of those things of, like, oh, you're not thinking about the people that are going there. Well, when they passed the law, they didn't think about who has tickets, who are we affecting. Like, the people that passed that law didn't hold anybody's feelings or bank accounts or any of that into account. So you, like, there, and that argument comes up all the time of, like, oh, you're being selfish, you're not thinking of all these people. Well, no, you were being selfish when you passed the law. Mm-hmm. So you gotta look in the mirror first and say, how'd you get here without thinking, especially when you realize that law had that the thing about sex, not just, it wasn't just sexual identity, it was race, religion, handicaps, like, just how many people.
I don't know that I...
Oh, no, we read at the beginning of the show.
It was, like, everybody.
You could not sue someone for discrimination. You couldn't...
Well, then that's their way to cover it.
Right, that they're not just... But so in their... And like he was
just
saying...
a gay thing.
Yeah, we're not just... But we're just going to hit everybody with a baseball bat.
Sure.
We're going after all of you. So it left you being a straight white male because you couldn't do it based on anything...
right.
...of one religion.
So...
So it's really all inclusive.
Segregation can come back into the mix. The segregation,
everything.
Everything, and you couldn't sue anybody. So that was one of the big things.
As long as you have a sign up.
Yeah, one of the big things that he reversed was he made it so that state, that North Carolina, like, they had to, they doubled down on the bathrooms thing, but then they really, really, really had to walk it back, and they made gays and sexual. Transgendered people a protected class in North Carolina, so they had to walk it four steps back.
Wow!
They went completely in the other direction that they were intending, and then they made it so they're going to hold a special legislative session so that you can sue the state now for discrimination if you're one of those classes. It has to get through the special legislative session.
Right.
So it's one of those things where I don't know if you heard Clayton say there's these arguments for like, well, you're not thinking of people that are like, they have to get a hotel room for the concert and all those things.
No, I did. As I was walking, I agree. Totally.
But no, but what I'm saying is, well, you should have thought when you passed the bill. Mm-hmm. You should have thought of all the people affected by this bill you passed and where that's going to go.
Yeah, but were you talking about the North Carolina legislature or are you talking about Bruce Springsteen making that?
No, concertgoers who, when he canceled, they were fans who were posting online
they're
about...
They're now part of the...
We wish you had a... You know, if you'd have done this 2 days ago, we could have canceled, we could have got a refund on hotels, we could have got a refund on this or that or whatever. So I get both sides of it. But again, though those people got upset about it and maybe they were inconvenienced about it.
They might vote now.
Sometimes you have
That's
to
exactly
take
right. Yeah. Yeah. If it's inconvenienced you.
Then next year when there's an election, they're going to be like, which one of you fuckers is going to do this?
Cost me $150
Because look at what, I mean, in a... A comparison, I think it's a fair comparison. Arizona was like, yeah, we want the Super Bowl. You're not getting it.
Oh, and I...
Because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day and not having it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, well, of course we have it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't mean to be...
Photograph me with a black person. Do it now. Yeah. And as Aaron was saying, like, and the citizens could have protested more too. And you don't know if that makes the news or not, Aaron, because here in Arizona, in Phoenix... The protests over our version of that law were everywhere. And you don't know how they're covered nationally or what the news story is that day. You don't know how they reacted. But I know in Arizona, whether it was covered or not, there were protests on the regular over SB 1070, which I know that number, this one.
What am I missing here?
Don Dunn is from North Carolina. He was in earlier, and he wanted to hear us. He was the first hour.
Oh, thank you a minute, because I'm all, who's Don Dunn?
Clayton show that was all politics all the
time.
We'll
catch up on all this stuff and get brought up to speed next Tuesday. I would imagine we're all back in the studio here.
And thank you for making this a fun night, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It was a wonderful night.
I needed that. Thank you so much.
In spite of an electrical outage or a horrible storm, I hope we all return. But we will leave you with this parting thought. We will... See you next Tuesday!
I won't wear this shirt ever again.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.